Rumsfeld was not stepping down, and
now he is. And
did you lie to us?
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And then he says, I lied to you. It was the only way I could get you to move on to the next question. And then he looks around and he chuckles and he's got this, and nobody's laughing. The entire press corps is sitting there looking at him going, you did what?
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Senators on the left of him, senators on the right, and General John Abizade caught in the middle. The Armed Services Committee hearing today. On the left, Michigan Democrat Carl Levin.
The American people do not want our valiant troops to get caught in a crossfire between Iraqis.
On the right, Arizona Republican John McCain.
I'm, of course, disappointed that basically you're advocating the status quo here today, which I think the American people in the last election said that is not an acceptable condition.
General Abizade said, no, he's not talking status quo.
I am saying we must significantly increase our ability to help the Iraqi army by putting more American troops with Iraqi units in military transition teams.
And no, they didn't get anything settled today, but they got the general's report. Testimony in the trial of some soldiers in the rape and killing of an Iraqi girl and her family. One soldier pled guilty and is testifying against the others.
Specialist James Barker testified the 101st Airborne soldiers got, quote, buzzed on whiskey the Iraqi army had given them. He described storming into a house, taking part in the gang rape of a 14-year-old girl, before another soldier picked up the family's AK-47 and shot her in the head. Barker testified he heard gunshots from an adjoining room as he raped the girl, as another soldier gunned down her family.
CBS's Jim Crisula at the court-martial, Fort Campbell, Kentucky. In tornado country, you can be this way about it.
I was carrying on a conversation with one of the kindergarten teachers, and she just leaned in and said, Mr. Camp, the tornado is here, and I leaned back and said, yes, I think you're right.
Not just Alabama, either. Heavy weather in Florida and in Georgia. Thousands of people are without power in the region. That storm killed one person in Louisiana. President Bush has arrived in Singapore. It's an eight-day trip to talk economic and other issues with Asia-Pacific trading partners.
Following the 20-hour flight, the president will take a brief break before a whirlwind day of meetings, tours, and ceremonies. He'll use the visit to this close U.S. trading partner and ally to set the tone for the trip that will also take him to Vietnam and Indonesia. Mr. Bush will emphasize cooperation on issues ranging from trade and health concerns to the war on terrorism. Also high on the agenda, North Korea. Nuclear intentions. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Singapore.
New study finds if you have clogged arteries, the paradox is the heavier you are, the more likely you'll survive.
What this Johns Hopkins University study calls an obesity paradox. The researcher at the American Heart Association meeting in Chicago says doctors seem more likely to give aggressive treatment to the obese patients, often an angioplasty operation, and doctors should be reminded, he says, that people of average weight may also need to have their arteries unclogged.
CBS's Dan Revive in Washington. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 34 points to set yet another record, 12,251. The Nasdaq up about 12 points on the day. This is CBS News.
You, line dancing with space aliens. Leprechauns playing hopscotch. Hot guy on the cover of a romance novel braiding your hair. Hot guy on the cover of a romance novel braiding his own hair. Genghis Khan in underwear that reads Saturday, but it's Monday. Dreams. They can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if your insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our Ad and Prevention magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Unicorns, mermaids, gargoyles, dragons.
The average domestic turkey's too dumb to come in out of the rain, but since most Thanksgiving dinners involve headless turkeys, it really hasn't been that big a problem.
The sound is the same, but Thanksgiving continues to evolve into something far more expansive than what Grandma was accustomed to. Sherry Rosenblatt with the National Turkey Federation says alternative cooking methods are gaining steam.
Some people will deep fry their turkey in some of the coldest places in the United States, along with grilling them. But the majority of us still do what Mom did and what Grandma did, and that's roast our turkeys for Thanksgiving.
Other choices gaining in popularity are natural and range-fed birds. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News.
This time of year in southwestern Siberia, the bears should be going into hibernation. But it has been warmer than usual, and the Russian bears have been roaming around scaring the locals. They're still eating like bears, storing fat for the winter that will come. You can bet on that part. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
To withdraw, to go away, to disappear. That's how the dictionary defines retirement. Time to redefine. Your generation's definitely not headed for bingo night. In fact, you could write a book about how you're going to turn retirement upside down.
The best book on retirement is the one you'll write, The Dream Book from Ameriprise Financial. To talk with an advisor near you about your retirement dreams, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE today.
Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member NASD and SIPC.
Office Depot for amazing deals this holiday season. This week only, Office Depot has 20% off all digital camera and printer bundles. Start your holiday shopping now with top brands and low prices on LCD and plasma flat screen TVs, camcorders, computers, and MP3 players like the new Zune. Office Depot has the latest technology for everyone on your list. Office Depot, taking care of business and the holidays. Available in-store only. Discount excludes clearance items. Quantities limited while supplies last.
Hear me, Collins!
Reporting for duty once again. Behind the microphone, I am your humble host, Peter B. Collins. We originate on the left coast, projecting those San Francisco values to a hungry nation. Wherever you are, however you listen, in these United States or in Costa Rica, Australia, or anywhere else around the world, I'm glad you found the PBC show. And if you're in the continental United States, you can call this program anytime when the urge strikes you. And we invite you to participate. That's why we pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me.
Technological breakdown. Oh, no, this is the road.
You can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And this hour, we've got two great bloggers joining us on the program. Coming up in about a half an hour, Jeffrey Feldman returns. He's an expert on framing and rhetoric. Operates frameshopisopen.com. And up first, it's Glenn Greenwald. He blogs at unclaimedterritory.blogspot.com. He's a constitutional lawyer and the author of this book in my hands called How Would a Patriot Act Defending America's from a President Run Amok? Glenn Greenwald, thanks for returning today to the Peter B. Collins Show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. There's a lot to talk about. Since you and I last spoke, which was a few months back, we've added a new great affiliate in Phoenix, Arizona. And Arizona is the only state to date that has rejected an initiative that would ban same-sex marriage. And you wrote an excellent piece about that that people can find today at Salon.com. It's interesting because it's a Glenn Greenwald piece, but to read the whole thing, you have to submit to a Glenn Beck commercial from CNN, which is a bit...
I know, yeah, so talk to the Salon people, I guess there's some diversity issues going on.
Well, if Glenn Beck embraces diversity, then I guess we should just let his commercial run. But at any rate, you make a very interesting point about Arizona's rejection of this wedge issue, and the larger point, which is you see an interesting alignment between libertarians, particularly in the western states, and Democrats these days.
Right. One of the interesting aspects of this midterm election was that prior to the election, not only did all 20 states to consider a referendum the same-sex marriage ban, all approve of it, they all approved of it by overwhelming margins. The lowest was 57% previously in Oregon, but most of them were 70 and 75%. Not only did Arizona become the first state to reject it, but it barely passed in South Dakota, also a red state, with just 52%. And even in Colorado, which is home to James Dobson and a whole variety of right-wing social conservative groups.
Well, let's not forget Ted Haggard.
Yeah, and Ted Haggard. We wouldn't want to leave him out. It only got 56%. And clearly there is a lot less receptiveness to these referenda in the West and in the Mountain West generally, and I think everybody, political analysts from those states, as red as those states have been, and Arizona's a little more mixed, but still red, you all agree that there's a real tension between the kind of moralizing and social conservatism that the Republican Party is required to feed to its southern base, mm-hmm. and the more libertarian sentiments in the Mountain West, and that's giving the Democrats a real opportunity out there.
Well, let's take a moment here and see if any of our listeners from Phoenix want to call into the program. And maybe we have some libertarians who listen to Progressive Talk on KPHX and agree with your point that there is a kind of alignment here, that in particular, libertarian types are rejecting the overreaching of Republicans on what they call their family values, sexuality, abortion, same-sex marriage. And, of course, the Terri Schiavo case is slightly different, but it's the same kind of intrusion into very personal issues.
It is. I mean, even one of the very last things that Bill Frist did as majority leader trying to curry favor with the religious conservatives for his presidential run is he stuck a ban on Internet gambling into a military appropriations bill that nobody could vote against. So, and a lot of libertarians, sort of the pure libertarians, were, you know, up in arms about that as well. It's really an assault on the private sphere of the right of individual adults to make their own decisions about how they'll live their lives.
Yeah. And we're going to take a couple of calls here in just a second. But first, a little amusement here on the subject. This is our new CD from Roy Zimmerman. We've been featuring here on the PBC show.
Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, two people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural. Now, a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
That's clever and cute and right on point. And just yesterday, the Parliament in South Africa, by a wide margin, resoundingly voted to legalize same-sex marriages in South Africa. Now, that is a very interesting trend developing. Ryan joins us from Tempe. Hi, Ryan. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Glenn Greenwald.
Thank you very much for having me. I would like to say that I definitely think he's hitting on something here. Having lived in a lot of different parts of the country, mostly here in Arizona, I can tell you that one thing that you just don't feel here, like you certainly feel in the South when I've been there, and even in the Midwest, even in more liberal communities there, is a real strong religious presence here in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know this is going to sound like a terribly funny thing to say, but I swear it's true. 2 out of 3 libertarians I've met in this state are swingers.
Well, that's taking it to the hilt.
And it really kind of seems to be a little bit of the ideology out here, you know, and a lot of people don't realize, but there's some kind of archaic things out here that kind of are in that stream. Like, a lot of people don't realize how many drugs are legal in states like Arizona and New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
that are not legal in other states, such as like psilocybin mushrooms and peyote. The gun laws out here, what gun laws out here?
Well, Ryan, I wanted to raise that because Glenn Greenwald cites Tom Schaller in the piece that he posted at Salon.com today. And Schaller's been on our programs twice. I'm very impressed with his thesis. He's written a book called Whistling Past Dixie, How Democrats Can Do Without the South. And he argues, similar to Glenn Greenwald, that the Democrats need to cultivate these libertarian-type individuals. And one of the issues that Schaller says that people like me need to let go of is gun control. That we need to acknowledge the Second Amendment and work with gun owners to acknowledge their freedom under our Constitution. What's your take on that? Is that something that I'm going to have to modify?
Well, I personally think that what the Democratic Party should do is just be a little better with their marketing as to what gun control they've actually done. You know, I think that there's been a lot more accusations and maybe a few attempts in the past at stricter gun control, but let's be honest, gun control has not changed that dramatically over the last number of years, and really almost every ban that has been put in place, you find most people agree with, you know, mm-hmm. the assault rifles and things such as.
Yeah, let's get a comment from Glenn. What do you think, Glenn?
No, I think it's interesting if you look at where the Democratic Party is on this issue, a lot of the newly elected candidates, especially from the western states and from southern-type states, are opposed to gun control. And when Howard Dean ran, you know, he's now remembered as this far leftist candidate when, in fact, he never was. He, mm-hmm. he had 100% rating from the NRA when he was governor of Vermont. And his view, which I think is the view that Democrats can really embrace on a number of issues, including gun control, is his view was, here in Vermont, we don't really have a problem with urban crime, and we have a lot of hunters here. And so we think that in Vermont, we want to have loose gun laws. But in New York and in other places where they have different problems, perhaps they want to have gun control there. And so it's really an issue that ought to be left up to the individual states, which mm-hmm. is really the way our system of government was supposed to be in the first place. And so if people in Montana and Alabama and other places in the West want to have guns and want to hunt, you know, and that's part of their culture, so be it. And if other states like California and Florida and New York feel like they have a problem with crime and that it's solvable by guns, so be it. But there's no reason to nationalize all of these cultural issues.
And now, I understand that argument, and I also understand hunters, and I understand the Second Amendment. Where I draw the line is with assault weapons. And we've seen the NRA close ranks to try to defeat the extension, which I believe still hasn't occurred, the extension of the assault weapons ban from the 1990s. And so that's where I have trouble, in that I'm willing to be rational and I'm willing to compromise on key issues related to gun laws. But the NRA tends to go for an all-or-nothing approach, and so far they're getting all. And that's, I guess, where I draw the line. Ryan, thank you for the call. I appreciate you checking in with us today. Thanks for your comment. And Glenn Greenwald, stay with us. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment. We've got more callers on the line, so we'll continue this conversation. And if you'd like to join us, my toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
12-Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addiction. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. Causes, cures, genetics, or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5, with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Italica Fine Leather Purses and Accessories on Alvarado Street, next to Supercuts in Monterey. Italica. Listen Saturdays at 4 with Sheila Gale. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still Peter B., 21 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Glenn Greenwald. You should pick up his book, How Would a Patriot Act?, subtitled Defending American Values from a President Run Amok. And visit his blog, too. It's glenngreenwald.blogspot.com. And, Glenn, we've started something here with the libertarian thread, and so we're going to stay with that. But I wanted to just briefly acknowledge your piece that's up on your blog about Richard Cohen. And his writing in the Washington Post, and just how wrong he's been on so many occasions about the war in Iraq. And I think it's worth reading. I want to direct people to that. And before we go to more calls, I just wanted to get a quick comment from you about the status of accountability and whether you think impeachment is something that should be a priority for Democrats.
I think that investigations ought to be a priority for Democrats, and I think investigations are prerequisite to impeachment. And I say that because you can't really impeach unless you have sufficient evidence. And by evidence, I don't mean things that we know in the media. I mean things that would be the kind of things that you can introduce in a trial in the Senate. And because we've had a Congress that's investigated nothing and a president that has really been able to act behind a wall of secrecy, we really the first order of business is to find out exactly what the government has been doing, to get testimony and compel documents and then uncover what the nature of the offenses are and then talk about remedies then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very well. Let's go to back to your phone calls, and we have Nancy in Phoenix. Thanks for calling and holding on. Nancy, you're on the air with Glenn Greenwald.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Glenn. This Arizona is very much Goldwater-based, and Goldwater, if you remember, was very much in favor of having military gays in the military. And he said, specifically, I don't care if he is straight. All I care about is if he can shoot straight.
Right.
So that was important to him. And he also was not an aficionado. He was very, very anti the evangelical right.
You're right.
The Falwells.
Mm-hmm.
That just got the hair up on the back of his neck. Those people he thought were going to take over his party, and he didn't want any part of that. And John Dean pretty much more or less followed the Goldwater conservative type. And I think, too.
Now, just a second there. You mean John Dean or Howard Dean? Which Dean?
John Dean.
Worse than Watergate.
Worse than Watergate.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, conservatives without a conscience,
mm-hmm.
which we have been well acquainted with these past few years.
Yes, indeed.
And I think, too, the libertarian wing used to be kind of nestled neatly into the conservative Republican Party, but they are jumping ship. And I think two of the reasons are, one of their tenets is, of course, you know, government should not meddle in our private lives. Mm-hmm. What a concept.
Yeah.
And the second thing is the libertarians pretty much do not get into or want to get involved in foreign entanglements. And God knows, since this president took over,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we're one Afghanistan to Iraq and on our way to Iran. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure...
Well, and we have made connections with some leading libertarians. Ivan Eland has been on our program from the Independent Institute. And they offer compelling arguments, which are quite appealing to Democrats, about many of these issues. Thank you for the call, Nancy. Really appreciate it. Glenn, you have a comment?
I just think the caller made some great points. And the one thing I would add is, and she's absolutely right, and the one thing I would add is there are a lot of disaffected conservatives, traditional conservatives, who have abandoned the administration because the premise of the administration is really the opposite of traditional conservatism. There is no restraint on government power. There is no modesty to the government. Everything is based on the principle that the government knows best, and it's a sort of fundamentalist sense that they have the right to intervene with everything, and it was really the opposite of the conservatism that Goldwater envisioned.
Catherine in Chandler, Arizona, welcome.
Hello. There's also another take about this whole thing. First of all, in Arizona, it is already illegal for gays to marry. Marriage is already defined in law. This has already gone all the way to our state Supreme Court and been upheld. This particular law, even though it was a ballot measure, it would literally take away domestic partner benefits and included both straight and gay. And this was the global part of this. And so many of the advertisements were, it's already illegal for gay marriage, but there's 800 firemen that are going to lose their straight domestic partner benefits,
mm-hmm.
plus uninsured children, thousands of children, and it affects seniors. Arizona has a huge senior population. Many, many seniors cohabitate to be able to get
to Social Security checks.
Get the maximum benefits and not lose spousal pensions from death benefits. And so this would target those populations. And so you're actually looking at a very progressive view of this law, not just all the libertarian. And I would say the libertarians here are looking at many of the topics that Glenn writes about.
Mm-hmm.
The NSA spying, the loss of habeas corpus. We have on another station a libertarian radio talk show host who just pounds on those issues all
mm-hmm.
the time.
Go ahead and name him.
Huh?
Go ahead and name that person.
Charles Goyette.
Yeah, I've talked to Charles.
Okay, Charles just, and he used to be on the old Air America station. And
mm-hmm.
so these are very profound issues. And what you're seeing is you are seeing these libertarians. It's hurting them. I mean, it's painful for them, but they are coming over.
All right, Glenn, your comment?
No, it's also a great point. And, you know, I think the word libertarian is important to realize. That really all that means is are people who, in general, prefer that the government not interfere in their lives, not just in their sexual lives, but in their lives generally. And, you know, it is interesting, the big, you know, sort of issue for that kind of, you can call them Western conservative or libertarians, was in the 1990s they were very angry over the fact that the government was eavesdropping and was eavesdropping by getting warrants secretly in a court called the FISA court. They thought
mm-hmm.
that was such a horrible intrusion into their liberty. And, of course, now we have a government that not only is eavesdropping on us, but is doing it without even bothering to get warrants with
yeah.
no oversight at all. And so you have a government that more than ever before has seized all kinds of surveillance powers and detention powers and it's just it's an endless expansion of powers that our government can use against us and not just libertarians in the formal sense, but just
sorry Glenn.
People.
I'm sorry, Glenn, I'm out of time here. Catherine, thanks for the call. Glenn Greenwald, thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, good looking. Why how's your guide cooking? How's the bike cooking? Something up with me.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to three here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to three on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's 33 minutes past the hour. And our tour of the blogosphere continues today. Up next, Jeffrey Feldman returns. He's the proprietor of the website frameshopisopen.com. And he covers language, rhetoric, framing, and the way politicians send messages to you and me. Jeffrey, welcome back to our program today.
Hi, Peter.
I picked this theme music because there's a love fest going on in Washington, D.C. Civility has returned. Bipartisanship, a word that hasn't been uttered in ages, is suddenly on the lips of every Democratic and Republican leader. And even G.W. Bush has let that B word slip through his lips.
Yes, can you feel the love? It's a beautiful thing.
Well, I noticed the post that you put up at your blog last week, and I wanted to get you to expand on this a little bit, because I am concerned that the Democrats are being snookered, that while the bipartisanship is being given lip service, that the Bush administration is every bit as aggressive as it has been since its non-mandate election of 2000.
And Peter, it's a great word that you use, aggressive, to tie into their attempt to frame the debate using that word bipartisanship, because their effort to make that word the dominant one in the debate, it took place literally within minutes of the Democratic victories last week, if not before.
Mm-hmm.
They really saw that the best way for them to control damage was to use the word bipartisanship to say that the victory was not an indication that it was time to restore constitutional balance to our government, but it was time for the Democrats to live up to their responsibility to work with the opposition party, as if they had never been trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bush administration went one step further. Not only did they want the word bipartisanship to be out there, but they wanted the debate to be entirely staged right from the beginning in circumstances that they controlled. So the president and Vice President Cheney invited the Democratic leadership right away to sit down for a photo op in the Oval Office, where they controlled the circumstances and where they essentially manipulated the media and the Democratic leadership into these very public statements in which they said, yes, we are looking forward to bipartisanship as well. So, yeah, it was real cause for alarm, and I was just struck by how aggressive it all was, because I knew that what was really going on behind the scenes was an active attempt by the president's surrogates to get done those last things that they wanted to get done that were going to run counter to anything that even vaguely looked like bipartisanship.
Now, there you go again. You people are so cynical. I mean, the president wants to give the Democrats an opportunity for bipartisan confirmation of John Bolton at the United Nations. He wants to give the Democrats the opportunity for a bipartisan vote to legalize his law-breaking under the FISA law and the NSA spying program. Now, what's so wrong with that, Jeffrey?
Oh, it's a loving gesture. It really is. And what better image of the Republican bipartisanship than a man like John Bolton, who made his bones, as they say, by pounding on windows in the Florida recount, intimidating people with physical threats, which got him the position of diplomacy, of all things. I mean, a more inappropriate man there couldn't be in the United Nations than John Bolton. But that's exactly what the Republicans wanted to happen. They wanted this very controlled front stage discussion about cooperation and getting along to happen. But it was really quite interesting because if you watched the photo op between Harry Reid, Dick Durbin, and President Bush and Vice President Cheney, it was really incredible how tense the president was. At one point, Harry Reid made a brief statement in which he acknowledged that he looked forward to bipartisanship. But then the president tossed the ball over to Dick Durbin, and you could tell the president was concerned that Dick Durbin might take the discussion off script. And Durbin made a joke about the president's and vice president's ties being blue.
Right.
And then the president quickly closed the discussion. He didn't want it to go anywhere beyond the statement that they were all just friends. It was really amazing how nervous President Bush was and how important it was to the White House.
Well, get this, Jeffrey, and I'm about to admit something that's a little embarrassing, but I actually watched part of the O'Reilly Factor the other night just to see what the enemy's up to. And apparently the Bill has become enamored with a woman who claims to be an expert on body language. So he brought her on, and she started to analyze the videotapes of the meeting you just described and the one that occurred with Speaker-to-be Nancy Pelosi and Bush. And this woman on the Fox News Channel gave advantage Pelosi in her exchange with Bush, saying that, you know, the way she sat in the chair, the way she held herself, she had her chin in the position that this woman thought was perfect. And Bush was nervous, squirming, sitting on the front of his chair, and he crossed his arms, crossed his legs several times, which this so-called expert described as closing his mind to what she was saying. So I thought that was choice.
Yeah, it is a choice. And right after that, they put the president on a plane and sent him off to Asia. because they wanted to make sure that they didn't have any more visual moments like that. I thought that Nancy Pelosi, since the midterms, has been a real image of strength. I think she's done a great job at standing up and holding her own, and in particular in that discussion. What she did, not just in terms of body language, but what she did was respond to the president's offer of bipartisanship by reminding the American public that she was going to be the Speaker of the House, that was not simply about being the Republicans and Democrats, but it was the representative body of the American people. She really walked into that meeting with an agenda, which was to remind the president that our government is based in a constitutional principle, a division of powers in which the Congress has the responsibility of oversight and accounting for the executive branch. It wasn't, we are not a government that's simply based on Democrats and Republicans. So Nancy Pelosi has done a really fantastic job, and she's had to weather a media storm which is attempting to really define her in gendered terms. So there was a huge amount of coverage which really overlooked what she had accomplished in that short meeting and focused instead on whether or not she could do the job and all kinds of irrelevant things like that. So.
Now, Jeffrey Feldman, you put here in bold type, step one for the Democrats is simple. Be very careful of stages that are controlled by the Republicans. Now, on some levels, I agree with you. On the other hand, Pelosi did not have a choice to invite him to Capitol Hill or to meet at Jack Abramoff's shuttered restaurant. So she had to accept the invitation to come onto his turf.
Yeah, she absolutely did. I mean, there was no choice. And I think that the Republicans are very smart in controlling the pace of the debate because they know that these moments really belong, the agenda belongs to them. But what the Democrats can do moving forward is to establish these moments on their own. I was just watching today, for example, some of the hearings that were going on with regards to Iraq on the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really going to be important over the next few months for the Democrats to look to control where the focus of the debate is, to not wait as they have done in previous years, but now that they have the authority to establish the agenda, to really try to define where the debate on Iraq takes place. It should take place not on in the Rose Garden of the White House. It should be taking place in these conference rooms in the Congress, and they should be controlling the debate. So, yeah, absolutely, there are certain ceremonial moments where Democratic leadership has no choice, and the best they can do is be prepared. But moving forward, they will have the choice, and the American public will be looking to see how well they can stage the debate.
Yeah. You point out a couple of things here in your post. One is that the Democrats have done a fairly good job of asserting themselves in this new climate and not really at least showing intimidation in the face of Bush and Cheney. At the same time, you write here, honestly, I'm a fan of Harry Reid. I can see why he's so successful in Nevada because his ability to speak, to really speak with feeling, and he's well-staffed. But Harry Reid threw away this opportunity to frame the debate. Rather than talking about bipartisanship, Reid should have taken the opportunity to tell the American people what these meetings were really about with a short statement that could have said, and then you offer your own idea of what he could have said. Tell us what you thought was missing there.
Well, I thought what was missing was a reference to the Constitution. I think that's really important, that what's on the minds of the American public, what was on their minds when they went to the polls last week, was the lack of oversight, that we've had a Congress that's been drifting and a Congress that has not been playing its role to really represent the voice of the people. So, like Pelosi, I felt that Reid should have stood up and said, look, I'm happy to be here, but I'm here in order to reestablish the balance of the Constitution that was put in place by our founders. So I really think that was the big point that was missing. And Reid had the example of Pelosi before him, so I think he made a fundamental mistake going in there to be more concerned about the close tie between Democrats and Republicans in the Senate than to really link it to what was perceived as a very big win for the Democrats in the election.
Mm-hmm. Now, one that I think Harry Reid has whiffed on, at least so far, and maybe this is a stealth effort on his part. I'll try to reserve some judgment on that. But he has appeared to be very willing to confirm Robert Gates as the replacement for Rumsfeld at the Pentagon. And I have serious questions about Gates. I don't believe this has to be done during the lame duck session. After all, Rummy has said he will wait for his successor to be confirmed to actually vacate. And I think that this is an opportunity for accountability and for the Democrats to ask tough questions, not only about Gates' past and the way he cooked intelligence and his slavish devotion to the Bush family, but also to talk about the future and what really is Gates' portfolio. What has the president said he will be permitted and not permitted to do as Secretary of Defense or Secretary of War, if you prefer? And Reid seems to be willing to just rubber stamp this nomination. I think that's wrong.
I think it's wrong, too. And I think that the reason that Reid is being hesitant and really being much more aggressive is because of what he sees as that balance in the Senate. He just gave an interview the other day. I'm sorry, I don't recall exactly where it was. It could have been in the Post, in which he said, look, there's a difference between the situation we now have in the House and the Senate. And with the House, you have a simple majority, and you run with it. You really try to ram things through. And he actually used that phrase, ram things through. Whereas in the Senate, when there, now we have a closer balance, and so he needs to be, although things need to be a little bit more delicate. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that coming from Reid, but I think it's a good explanation for why it is that Reid is being so reticent. And that means that it's even more incumbent upon the grassroots of the Democratic Party and progressive activists and people who voted last week to voice their views very actively, to see this moment, these few months, between the time the elections happen and the time that the new senators and congresspeople show up, as a time to continue voicing your opinion. It doesn't just end when we vote. It's really important that we stand up and say, look, we're uncomfortable with this choice from the White House for Secretary of Defense, and Harry Reid, you need to know that we are still looking to you for very strong leadership and not just to rubber stamp what the president sends down.
Well put. Jeffrey Feldman with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. One more about the post-election love fest. There was this luncheon last Thursday, and Pelosi, I guess Reid, a few others came over to grab a bite with the president, and he served some of Pelosi's favorite dishes and chocolate. I know she's a big chocoholic like me. And what it was reported is that in a lunch that lasted 1 hour and 10 minutes, Dick Cheney didn't say a word. He's going all Clarence Thomas on us.
Yeah, it is amazing what's going on with Vice President Cheney. He's in the room and he's very quiet, but a lot of this seems to be about these very public gestures between the president and the Democratic leadership that the president needs to save face. And I think that one of the things we're seeing is this recurrent belief amongst Republican strategists that one of the president's strengths is how natural he appears to be with people. So they think they're going to buy themselves some initial points or at least throw up a smoke screen if he sits around a table with them and, you know, calls them nicknames and, you know, things like that, whereas Cheney just can't seem to get it right, so he's just sitting there quietly. But oftentimes it's the silent one in the room who's the most powerful.
Well, and apparently the one thing he did say was, hey, Nancy, you want to go hunting? We'll take a break and return with Jeffrey Feldman. Visit his blog, frameshopisopen.com. It's interactive. You can make comments there. And if you'd like to join us with a comment, call us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Jim Ross, president and founder of National Real Estate Holding. Jim has been on our show the last several weeks talking about wealth building and offering great real estate investments in some of the great real estate markets of the United States. If you want to learn how to make money in a down real estate market, this is the show for you. And don't forget to be a part of the Tell a Friend Just Relax giveaway at the Legacy Villa in Palm Springs just by calling the show. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10.
Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
You got the Peter B. Collins Show. I'd say it's time to go home.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time. It's time to go home.
Michael Fronte singing My Politics. It's called Time to Go Home. Jeffrey Feldman with us. He operates the website and blog, frameshopisopen.com. And Jeffrey, I have to say that I was snookered by the president, and I've admitted this before my listeners already. But I believed him the week before the election that Rummy and Cheney would be by his side all the way till the end of the line at the end of the presidency. And then, boom. As John Madden would say, the morning after the election, a little shakeup announced by the White House. And first up on that lie and the way the media played it, it was breathtaking to me that the president would admit at the news conference, yeah, I had some guys in and I lied to them.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
The way the president just, he was so flustered, it seemed, in that particular moment. He didn't quite know what to say, and it was almost as though the curtain had been pulled up on the wizard, and there he just came out and said that I had you guys in the office. And I believe the phrase that he used was, I was still waiting to hear about the replacement.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I didn't fully tell you what was going on. But it was an admission of a lie, and there really wasn't anybody in the press who picked it up and talked about that. And then what Bush did at the end of that statement was he asserted that the reason he didn't want to make that change, he kept on reverting back to the same idea, the reason he didn't want to make that change is because he doesn't want military policy to be driven by politics, which of course is the exact reason that he asked for Rumsfeld's resignation in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, that's the real whopper.
Yeah. So then he stands up and he just dishes out another one right there, and nobody seems to grab onto that. I think that in the wake of the election, people just, you know, completely abandoned any attempt to think critically about what the president was saying because they were so focused on talking about whether or not the Democrats were actually capable of doing anything. So they clearly had this other script that they had prepared in advance in order to whip up concerns about this new majority in Congress.
Well, and it flies in the face of a couple of things. One, Rove's strategy to make the war the issue in this campaign and have Republicans run hard on it. Bush played out that strategy, but many of the Republicans running for House and Senate seats bailed on it because it wasn't producing any good results for them. And so I believe the election was about the war and in part about Rumsfeld, and the president didn't acknowledge that in making the move that obviously responds to the voice of the electorate.
Yeah, and the president is, you know, he said many times before that he does not do anything wrong. He never does. He certainly never admits to that. And what he's been saying since the election is not that the policy was wrong or that Rumsfeld was wrong, but simply saying that things aren't going as smoothly or as quickly as he had hoped by this point. So it's this very interesting way, annoying even, the way the Bush is not, even firing his Secretary of Defense, whose head everybody was calling for, Bush is still hiding behind these buzzwords that are implying somehow that it has nothing to do with the decisions that the decider made about how things are going in Iraq.
Well, and I am confused by the various messages that Bush himself enunciated during his campaign trips, because on the one hand, he was signaling that the Baker study group, the Iraq study group, essentially is going to present some sort of change, but it's in the mystery box and we can't open that till after the election. And, at the same time, he was saying he wants all the new ideas, he's willing to listen to a whole range of voices, but he kept ruling out the presumed options that the Baker Commission might present to him.
Yeah, that's a really important point that you bring up, Peter, because today in a press conference, or it was either today or yesterday, a press conference with Stephen Hadley, a national security advisor, someone in the audience asked if the president was going to accept the recommendations of the commission, and Hadley repeated that same logic of the president listening to all opinions as if this was something new, that suddenly the president was going to listen to advisors. And then the reporter asked point blank if that meant that they were not going to listen, they were not going to accept the recommendations. And Hadley said that they were doing their own, they had their own commission out there. Then that beyond this bipartisan committee, which really has an incredible amount of heavy hitters, both famous Democrats, well-known Democrats, and Republicans, it does seem likely that what Bush is going to do is he's going to listen to what they say, and then he's going to go after the recommendations put together by his own commission that most people don't even know exists.
Now, that's the military study group?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's a study group out there that Hadley is claiming is something that has been commissioned, by the Department of Defense, and it is not it is separate from the Baker Commission.
And they've got a bunch of innovators on that team.
A bunch of innovators.
Yeah, that's what they said.
And it really, what's startling, with that phrase, listening to all kinds of advice, they're really putting that in place so that farther down the line, President Bush does not have to eat crow and accept outside advice and appear that he's done something wrong, so they can keep up this illusion that the president never actually does what other people tell him, but makes his own decisions. It's really amazingly cynical what they're doing at this stage, because the public really expects outside experts now to come in, a brain trust of American senior diplomats to come in and provide some direction.
Well, and the cost is significant because at least 100 Iraqis are killed every day, and as many as 5 or 10 Americans are killed every day as they dither over this policy and, as you point out, cynically string this along. And you don't have to be a hardcore cynic to expect that Bush is using this for window dressing, and just like the 9/11 Commission, which he opposed, he will study their report and then pretty much ignore it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And in the hearings today that took place on the Hill, which included General Abizaid and the ambassador in Iraq, whose name I've just forgotten.
Zalmay Khalilzad.
Yes. And they were kept on using this phrase, the next few months are critical. Over and over again, the next few months are critical.
Sorry, Tom Friedman already wore that line out.
Well, finally, a Democratic congressman stood up and said, you know, we've been hearing that phrase for the past 3 years, and I understand that every moment in Iraq is critical, but we absolutely have to have some change, and the American public just voted on the idea that there would be some change. So we need to move beyond these politically packaged presentations to the Congress.
Jeffrey Feldman, thanks for joining us. FrameShopIsOpen.com is the web.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A top general wants to stay the course in Iraq.
I believe that the troop levels need to stay where they are.
U.S. Airways offers $8 billion for Delta.
The hostile takeover faces big hurdles. The government has antitrust questions.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A skeptical Congress today heard reassurances and a plea for more time in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
As a major rethinking of the Iraq war is underway in Washington, the top general for the region told Congress things are bad but not hopeless.
I remain optimistic that we can stabilize Iraq.
General John Abizaid rejected a call from Democrats to start bringing troops home, saying the key is for the Iraqi government to control the militias. Senator Hillary Clinton said she's heard that before.
Nobody disagrees with that. The brutal fact is, it is not happening.
Abizaid also was hammered by those on the other side, like Republican Lindsey Graham, who say send in more force.
Why are we stuck on a troop level that's not working?
The CIA director told senators the U.S. is fighting terrorism in Iraq, but acknowledged most of the killing there is by religious militias jockeying for power. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
White House National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley says the Bush administration has been conducting a series of discrete reviews looking at barriers to success in Iraq. Now, with the Iraq Study Group about to issue its recommendations, Hadley says it's time to pull the reviews together, as he puts it, figuring out where we are in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula was at Fort Campbell, Kentucky today as one of the four soldiers charged in the rape of an Iraqi girl and the murders of her and her family pleaded guilty and agreed to testify against the others.
Specialist James Barker said he decided to go along with what he considered a, quote, crazy dumb idea because he came to hate Iraqis. Barker admitted the 14-year-old girl he raped and helped kill after another 101st Airborne soldier murdered her family were simply objects of his hatred. He told a military judge here at Fort Campbell, quote, Iraqis could smile at you and then stand there and shoot you.
Now this.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
Office Depot for amazing deals this holiday season. This week only, Office Depot has 20% off all digital camera and printer bundles. Start your holiday shopping now with top brands and low prices on LCD and plasma flat screen TVs, camcorders, computers, and MP3 players like the new Zune. Office Depot has the latest technology for everyone on your list. Office Depot, taking care of business and the holidays. Available in-store only. Discount excludes clearance items. Quantities limited while supplies last.
This could be the start of airline consolidation. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports U.S. Airways is making a hostile takeover bid for bankrupt Delta.
Creditors left high and dry in Delta's bankruptcy have been offered $8 billion in cash and stock. It's a potentially lucrative deal. The critics say it stinks for travelers, who will find fewer cheap seats, fewer flights, and more crowded planes.
Delta says it's reviewing the offer, but still intends to emerge from bankruptcy as an independent company. Another banner day in the market. The Dow moved higher into record territory, gaining 38 points to close at 12,256. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus followed the action.
You've got a lot of people jumping back into this market now because they want to take advantage of this year-end rally. You have some people who have been sitting on the sidelines and don't want to feel like they've been left out, so they're starting to put money back in.
If this was designed to shock, it succeeded. O.J. Simpson, in a new book and in a Fox TV interview, details the murders of his ex-wife Nicole and her friend Ron Goldman. More from CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
His book comes out this month titled If I Did It, and while it's written as just hypothetically how he would have murdered his ex-wife Nicole and her friend Ron Goldman, O.J. Simpson's publisher Judith Regan is quoted as saying she considers the book his confession. Legal experts say under what's called double jeopardy, he cannot be charged again with that double murder of 12 years ago.
But while he was acquitted of the criminal charges, Simpson was found liable for the deaths in a civil trial in order to pay $33.5 million to the victim's family. They could try to collect whatever money Simpson makes from this book. The former football star and sportscaster has always maintained his innocence.
No, I did not commit those murders. I couldn't kill anyone, and I don't know of anyone that was involved.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game opens to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
Office Depot for amazing deals this holiday season. This week only, Office Depot has 20% off all digital camera and printer bundles. Start your holiday shopping now with top brands and low prices on LCD and plasma flat screen TVs, camcorders, computers, and MP3 players like the new Zune. Office Depot has the latest technology for everyone on your list. Office Depot, taking care of business and the holidays. Available in-store only. Discount excludes clearance items. Quantities limited. While
All right, that's enough news. That's enough commercials. It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. At any moment, if the urge strikes you, give us a call and talk on the radio. We provide a toll-free line and pay for that call. 888-5. Peter B. is the number. That's 888-573-8372. And some people think that we carefully construct the guests on this program a week or two in advance. And you can labor under that misimpression if you like, but we tend to book our show on the day of the program in most cases so that we can get the freshest comments on the hottest topics. And today it just turned out that all of our guests are either bloggers or web-based journalists. And, of course, they're all really good dancers. Coming up later this hour, Larissa Alexandrovna returns from RawStory.com. Right now, Steve Pizzo joins us. He's a semi-retired investigative journalist who broke the big story of the 1980s, the savings and loan scandal, co-authored the prize-winning book called Inside Job, and he now blogs at his leisure at newsforreal.com. Steve Pizzo, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Peter. Nice to be here.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
I want to talk about the post you did yesterday, the honey-do list that you have devised. It's your own personal agenda for the new Congress. But I cannot resist reading this first paragraph that you posted today.
Isn't it remarkable?
And for the benefit of our listeners, just so it's a little fun, I will not identify the source or the date until after I read this paragraph. The people of this country have been led into Mesopotamia, into a trap from which it will be hard to escape with dignity and honor. They have been tricked into it by a steady withholding of information. The Baghdad communiques are belated, insincere, incomplete. Things have been far worse than we've been told. Our administration more bloody and inefficient than the public knows. It is a disgrace to our imperial record, and may soon be too inflamed for any ordinary cure. We are today not far from a disaster. Steve, identify the source and the date, please.
1920, August 1920, T.E. Lawrence, Lawrence of Arabia, had been hired by, called back into service by Winston Churchill, who at the time was Secretary of State for Colonies, because the British were in the exactly the same mess then that we are now, in exactly the same place, and Churchill asked Lawrence to come in, take a look at it, and tell him the truth,
mm-hmm.
and he did.
So you think Jimmy Baker's going to, you know, put on one of those little headgears?
We will see. It's hard to envision, but we will see.
A kafia, that's the word kafia. I was looking for.
Right.
Well, I want people to go to News for Real and read that for themselves. Now,
yeah, the whole thing is there, and it really is. It could have been written today.
To the new Democratic Congress, you put together your own wish list here. And while you and I don't always agree, Stephen, I think this is a very healthy agenda for the Democrats. Let's go through it item by item.
It'd be a healthy agenda for, you know, as I said at the beginning of that post, you know, on November 7th, the people didn't vote for Democrats and didn't really vote, I don't think, against Republicans per se. What they voted for was government, any kind of government. Somebody to actually do things for a change rather than floating nonsense issues like gay marriage and flag burning and blah de blah. So
mm-hmm.
I decided to give the Democrats a list, and it starts out by, first of all, doubling the number of days they meet this next year. They only met 90 days last year, so let's make it 180 days. It still gives them half the year to do their, quote, constituent service.
Mm-hmm.
The other is...
Well, and they're not going to be so busy flying around the world on, you know, junkets paid for by Jack Abramoff.
Exactly. So just keep them off the street and keep them out of trouble. pass a law that says, from now on, our budget is pay-as-you-go, unless Congress formally, and I underline formally, declares war or national emergency. So if they're gonna, if they want to raise spending on something, they have to either raise taxes, cut spending somewhere else, or both. But they need to get the budget in hand, and the only way to do that is pay-as-you-go.
Well, you know, the Democrats are the party of fiscal discipline, or... something
well, you know,
like
you know,
that.
You know what's interesting? I mean, I was back in Washington a few years ago trying to convince the Democrats to combat, to go head-to-head with Republicans on this buzz phrase of tax and spend liberal. I said, anytime they say that, you've got to say to these Bush people, at least Democrats had enough sense to know that before you could spend money, you had to raise it.
Mm-hmm.
These people, the Republicans, are simply borrow and spend Republicans. So, you know, hopefully we've learned that now that we're $4 trillion deeper in debt.
And one of the things I'd like to see on this score, Steve, is honesty about the cost of the Iraq War. And the Bush administration is ready to present another bill. This time the tab is expected to be in the range of $160 billion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's expected to only last through the end of this fiscal year at the end of September.
And listen, we've got a Democratic congressman under investigation right now, and it sounds to me like he deserves it. William Jefferson, he's got that's the guy with the $90,000 in cash in his freezer.
Yeah, the FBI-marked bills.
Exactly. All right, fine. But can you even begin to imagine how much money, taxpayer money, Halliburton has in his freezer? Now, we're not talking $90,000. We're talking $90 million or...
billion.
You know?
Yeah.
So let's investigate that as well. And that's one of the my things on the to-do list is to get back into the oversight business. That's, you know, second to passing legislation, that's the only other job Congress has.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't been passing legislation, and they haven't been doing oversight. So let's take a look in Halliburton's freezer, and if they find what I think is in there, maybe they can share a cell with Mr. Jefferson.
Well, and Waxman is a wiry, short guy. He can probably actually fit into Halliburton's freezer. It's a walk-in.
Well, what's interesting about Waxman is that, remember, he's the one who made those tobacco guys put their hand up and say, I swear.
Yeah.
And look at where that led.
Mm-hmm.
Well, under last year, Ted Stevens, who was the chairman of the Senate Energy Committee, that little guy from Alaska up there,
right,
who built the bridge to nowhere, he had the energy executives there, and the Democrats said, let's swear them in. And Stevens got all puffed up and said, these are honorary men. They do not need to be sworn in. Well, time to call them back.
Yep. And get that right arm up in the air.
Get that arm up and find out exactly what advice they gave Dick Cheney in his Energy Commission meetings, his secret meetings, that led to the kind of energy mess we have today.
We're talking with Stephen Pizzo. He blogs at newsforreal.com. This is his honey-do list for the new Congress. Next one is not going to get any fight from me. Raise the minimum wage to at least $8 an hour. And you say, for Christ's sake, this time, index it to inflation.
Well, you know, here are a bunch of clowns that are earning $165,000, $165,200 a year. And I calculated at the beginning of this blog of mine that came to about $90 an hour for the number of days they worked. All right, and these are the same people, particularly the Republicans, who claim, because that's what the Chamber of Commerce says, that raising the minimum wage is going to ruin the economy. You know, $5.15 an hour, and they say that without a hint of shame.
Yeah.
Without a hint of shame. So let's get that taken care of. Apply some basic ground rules to free trade. We've been passing these free trade agreements out. It is not free trade when a widget maker in Georgia that has to comply with EPA, disposing toxic waste, very expensive, has to provide workplace safety and health care, has to compete with a worker in China that can just dump his toxic waste in the river, which is why 85% of the rivers in China now are beyond polluted. They are now classified as poisonous. Right. So fair trade means free and fair means they have to, if they want to sell their goods over here, they have to comply with the minimum standards for the environment and worker safety.
Do you think it's too late for that? Do you think that that horse is well out of the barn?
Do you think China? You know, the good thing about fair trade is it's gotten China hooked on, guess what, the American consumer.
Mm-hmm.
You pull the American consumer away from China now, and they go back to planting rice.
Well, that's an interesting point. I think that, unfortunately, there are too many Democrats who have really taken the DLC line, hook, line, and sinker, and are really afraid to move away from that, partly because they get some of their campaign funding from corporate interests that benefit from...
Well, then the rest of the members of the Democratic Party need to remind them that the fair trade that is unfair, the free trade that's unfair, has gutted the American working class. The American working class was the backbone of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who they think their voters are going to be 10 years from now, the DLC people, but they're not going to be Republicans. So I don't know who they think they're going to get their votes from.
We're going to take a break and return with Stephen Pizzo. Visit his blog. That's newsforreal.com. And if you'd like to talk about his agenda here, what he calls the honey-do list for Congress, give us a call. Lines open right now at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree. We have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah.
Christmas is fun.
fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreath.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
I'm tired of all these old TVs and computers trashing our garage. Can't we get rid of them once and for all?
I'd love to, honey, but it costs so much to get rid of them.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you can dispose of your electronic waste, TVs, monitors, old computers, and more, and it won't cost you a dime. Bring them to the Monterey Fairgrounds, and the garage will be yours again. The Electronic Waste Disposal event is happening this Friday through Sunday, November 17th, 18th, and 19th, at the Monterey Fairgrounds in Monterey. Go to noewaste.com for more information. That's noewaste.com.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's take a look at the very latest. Get you home safely or to your destination safely. All right, let's talk a little bit about what's happening in the Santa Cruz Mountains. No stalls or accidents report. Got a problem in San Jose we're going to mention. It's southbound 280 before Lawrence Expressway. It's a fender bender on the right shoulder. It's a pickup truck and a car. And then we want to head to a situation in, Santa Clara. It looks like eastbound 237 before Great American Parkway. Two burlap bags blocking the third lane from the left. Other than that, not a whole lot going on. Watsonville nighttime roadwork, Highway 1 between 129 and Freedom. Caltrans will have one lane closed in each direction from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. for pavement upgrades. Expect at least 15-minute delays. Well, this report brought to you by Panasonic Ideas for Life. Feel the undeniable power of Panasonic Plasma. No other big screen experience comes close. Experience the power at Panasonic.com. Panasonic, America's best-selling plasma TV, available at Best Buy.
On show continues.
I remember when I lost my mind.
Yeah, it was when they said Bush would be our president.
Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Knew too much.
That'll make me crazy.
That'll make me crazy.
Does that make me crazy?
That's one of my favorite tunes from 06 so far. Gnarls Barkley and Crazy. Steve Pizzo's kind of crazy. He blogs on the web at newsforreal.com. Rants and raves and often makes sense. And we're talking about the post that he put up yesterday, the honey-do list for the new Congress. And one of the items that I really agree with you on is an independent ethics committee. Oh. We now have a situation where Jack Murtha, whom I respect for his articulation about the war, he's as bad as Kurt Weldon when it comes to earmarks and cronyism and backroom dealing. And Nancy Pelosi has championed him. The vote's going to come tomorrow. But I'm offended by that. I really think we need to keep an eye on that issue because exit polls showed more people, particularly independents, voted for Democrats on the corruption issue than they did on the Iraq War.
Yeah, well, the way the ethics committees are set up now is your classic foxes watching the chickens situation. It's just stupid. It's constructed not to work. So the same thing with the Federal Election Commission, where they split it right down the middle, Republican, Democrats, but they always have a deadlock, and it's designed not to work. So they need to get that to work. The other thing this new Congress needs to do is it needs to make a clear statement on presidential signing statements. You know, these Republicans who like to call themselves strict constructionists, like Scalia, will tell you there is nothing in the Constitution that gives a woman a right to an abortion. Well, I have news for them. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows the president to sign statements that go counter to a bill he's signing. He has, in the Constitution, two choices: veto the damn thing or sign it. Those are his two choices.
Right.
And Congress needs to make that explicitly clear and stop this nonsense, because it's setting up an imperial presidency.
Very good point. Dave.
The other thing they need to do is instead of spending a zillion dollars on a fence that's going to be built by Halliburton, I'm sure, along the U.S. border, before they do that. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. Maybe they should. Who knows? But before they do it, what they need to do is set up an online system that allows employers to check the immigration status of people coming in for a job. Now, I don't want to hear from them that that can't be done, that it's too cumbersome. The IRS has no trouble finding me every year, no matter where I am. All right, so don't tell me it can't be done. And if they did that, that alone would cut the number of people coming across that border by three quarters. Then we can talk about whether or not we need a fence.
Well, I'm with you on that. Number one, I don't believe we need to pile on new law and regulation related to immigration when we haven't enforced the laws that are already on the books.
Exactly.
And also, I don't believe a fence will have the desired effect. People will go under it, around it, over it, or, like so many illegal immigrants, they're going to fly in here on a tourist visa and just stick around.
Yeah, the draw is employment. That is the draw. That's where you solve the problem.
Let's get a comment from Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on with Steve Pizzo.
Hey, Peter. And Steve, I think it's been our good fortune as a country many times that we've had some elected officials that were truly motivated to act in the best interest of the people, to give them a decent income, health care, protect the environment and such. And that's been so totally lacking in the last 5 years, and you seem to have a pretty good grasp of that. I'm hoping that included in your wish list is running all the voting apparatus machinery through shredders and recycling them into beer cans and dunk trucks or whatever you can make up.
Well, you know, at the very least, what they need to set up here, if they want to, I mean, I'm a computer nut, so I understand these things and I love them, and they do have their place. But for a company like Diebold that produces all the ATM machines in the country, any one of which I go to and I get a paper receipt out of, to tell me that giving paper receipts to voters is, quote, too complicated is nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
At the very, very least, these machines should spit out a paper receipt that then goes into a ballot box as the person leaves, checks it, signs it, says, yes, that's how I voted, and so that we have something to recount besides electrons.
And, Steve, at a Diebold ATM, automatic 20 machine, have you ever been shorted or have you ever been given an extra 20?
No, I have never given, definitely not an extra 20.
Me either. It's always exactly right.
Yeah, they do know how to do this. They must do it before the next election.
Dave, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Appreciate that comment today. You also want to revise the Bush tax cuts.
Well, yeah, of course. Listen, trickle-down economics. I wrote about trickle-down economics under Bush 1. This is nonsense. It is not trickle-down economics that works. It is trickle-up economics that works. You don't give the people at the top a bunch of money because, as they say, they're going to invest it and create jobs and blah-de-blah-de, because they're not going to do that. What they're going to do is they're going to put that money in their kids' trust accounts and offshore, and you know, they keep that. If anything trickles down, it's because one of their bank accounts sprung a leak. There's just no way it's going to trickle down. But when you give working people tax cuts, working people spend their money when they get it, because they got it. You know, and if you want to stimulate an economy, that's the way you do it. A working person goes out and spends the money, that creates demand. That demand creates jobs to fill that demand, and so on and so on. And then down at the end of that line, the guy doing all of that gets rich. All right, that's fine. I have no problem with people getting rich. But if what you're talking about is stimulating an economy,
You give the little guy the tax break, not the big guy.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've covered most of Steve Pizzo's honey-do list here. Let me see. You want right after the prayer that opens a session in the House and Senate, the speaker should be required to read aloud the number of Americans who don't have health insurance. That's interesting.
Well, I mean, listen, it's a disgrace, Peter. I don't need to tell you, but I mean, this is something that with industrial, we're at the bottom of the heap of industrialized nations in providing health care
mm-hmm.
to our people. We pay twice as much for it, and we get half as good a health care.
All right, and let's go to your final point here. Agree to a temporary moratorium on any legislation employing the following divisive words or phrases: flag burning, abortion, prayer in schools, cut and run, winning in Iraq, family values, and gay marriage. Only lift this moratorium once Congress has addressed real problems like Iraq, health care, and fairness in national tax policy.
Amen.
Lovely stuff. A little bit dreamy on that last part.
Well, I mean, listen, as long as we let these we need to remind these people that the real issues are the ones you just say, Iraq, health care, fairness, tax, jobs,
mm-hmm.
real.
Yeah.
All that other crap is crap.
You're right. Steve Pizzo, thanks a lot. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Same here.
Visit his blog, newsforreal.com. Coming up next, Larissa Alexandrovna from rawstory.com. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Simpson explains how he might have done what he didn't do. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Legendary book editor Judith Regan, who has created celebrity page-turners such as How to Make Love Like a Porn Star, has now announced an O.J. Simpson book. And not just a book, but a TV special, too, which carries the working title O.J. Simpson, If I Did It, Here's How It Happened. Let me take that slower for those of you who, like me, speak English as your first language. O.J. Simpson, I did it. Here's how it happened. According to a news release, the special will feature Mr. Simpson describing how he would have carried out the murders of his ex-wife and her friend if he had, in fact, murdered them, which he has vehemently denied doing for 11 years now. But, of course, how would he know? Well, I guess 11 years of research. Yes. And what better way to cement his innocence in the mind of the public than to do a TV special called O.J. Simpson, If I Did It, Here's How It Happened. Not O.J. Simpson, Here's How My DNA Accidentally Got All Over Everything, but O.J. Simpson, If I Did It, Here's How It Happened. Of course, that's just the working title. The final title could be different. O.J. Simpson, At Least I'm Not to Blame for Iraq. In any case, he'll make a reported $3.5 million because, as a Fox Network official, their executive vice president for alternative programming said, quote, this is the definitive last chapter in the trial of the century. The last chapter? But it's called If I Did It. The last chapter would have to be O.J. Simpson, I finally found the guy. And it's me.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We originate in San Francisco, and this show is produced by Matt Renner. If you have some suggestions on guests or topics we ought to cover, email Matt at peterbcollins.com. I'm not supposed to sing along, sorry. Joining us now from RawStory.com, where she serves as managing editor, is Larissa Alexandrovna. Hello, Larissa.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing okay today, actually. How about you?
I'm good. I was actually hoping you guys would play a particular song. I told Matt, but I guess it didn't work.
You didn't tell me. What was it?
It's Leonard Cohen's Everybody Knows.
Oh, I love that song.
I know. I was really in the mood for that.
I've got it at home, so I'll make a note here, and maybe next time you're on, I'll play that for you.
Okay.
It's a great tune.
I was really in the mood for it, too, today.
Well, I am intrigued by some of the items in the story you posted yesterday at Raw Story, entitled Intelligence Sources Question Gates' Independence from Cheney and Rumsfeld. And I want to talk about Robert Gates, but first I wanted to pick at a couple of items in the story. Mm-hmm. One is that you mention a source here who, I'm trying to find it, suggested that, here it is. The many connections and parallels between Cheney and Gates over the years suggest that contrary to current folklore, Cheney may in fact have been involved in the choosing of Gates in an effort to rein in the Pentagon near mutiny. Now, we know that just before the election, the Army Times and its companion publications for the other services all had editorials calling for Rumsfeld's head.
Mm-hmm.
Which was rare. It is rare.
In fact, I don't think I've ever heard of that happening before.
Well, my sense of those newspapers is that they never do anything really controversial that would offend a sitting defense secretary.
Correct.
So it's highly unusual. And does that, based on your sources, indicate that there really were serious rumblings inside the Pentagon?
Well, I mean, there have been for some time anyway. The way the places have been leaking, and when you have generals, retired generals, speaking out the way they have, and in large numbers, I mean, it's really unprecedented. So what this particular source described to me is supported by the things that went on directly before the election, and certainly for the last, I don't know, about 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, beyond that, there's really, you know, I can only present it as far as I can get with it. If I could prove it for sure that they were near mutiny, I would have attempted to do so. As such, I had to write it as, you know, basically, mm-hmm. what someone was describing. Again, this is certainly one person's impression, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, they may have seen it near mutiny, or perhaps for them, mutiny means something entirely different.
Right.
So I would take it in the context of the whole rather than focus on that one particular part.
Got it. Okay. The other line that I really loved here, I'm going to read the whole paragraph. One former senior intelligence officer who served during the Bush 41 presidency believes that, by and large, the Gates appointment is simply buying time and providing cover while allowing Rumsfeld to take the fall for the execution of a now unpopular war. This source also believes that the fall of Rumsfeld might serve as notice for Cheney to curtail his inner hawk. That's a great expression.
Actually, that expression is mine.
I thought it might be. I like that.
Yeah, no, the source is quoted beneath that. But, yeah, I actually kind of went a little bit, I don't know, I went wild with the verbiage when I was writing this. Well, what's another polite way of saying, you know, in our hawk? I didn't want to say...
Well, he might reduce his testosterone intake.
Right, exactly. I didn't want to say warmonger, his, you know, so I just try to play it down, or make it, you know, less controversial.
Well, you could have said inner chicken hawk.
That would be more controversial.
All right, now to the Gates nomination. You cite Melvin Goodman in this article, and we were fortunate to get him on our show the very day that Rumsfeld was sacked and Gates was nominated.
Right.
And he minced no words. He describes Gates as a micromanager, a guy who has politicized intelligence on repeated occasions, the Soviet intelligence in the 1980s, the Iran-Contra intelligence, which he barely skated from indictment on. And then when he was confirmed as DCI, Director of Central Intelligence, in, I think, 1991, many of these same allegations surfaced. So Goodman has a very clear case against Gates. What has surprised me so far is I have not heard any Democratic leaders raise public questions about this Gates nomination.
That's not true. Levin has.
Has he?
Yes, he has. He very much has raised the questions, he's been careful how he's phrased it. He says, I have a lot of questions for him. I think that's a direct quote. But no, Levin for sure, and I think certainly there are others who are, you know, not as vocal.
Mm-hmm.
But
Harry Reid is willing to go along with confirmation hearings prior to Christmas in the lame duck session.
I think it's summarized best at the very end of my article they don't care who it is as long as it's not Rumsfeld. I mean, and they, I don't mean just the military. I mean anyone in any part of this government just wants Rumsfeld out. So they don't care who it is. Now, in Gates' defense, I will say this, Goodman's not alone in his critique by any measure.
Correct.
But there is another side to this, and there are those who believe that Gates, when he was, director of the CIA, that he did very, very well, and that he was, you know, he overcame the criticisms. He kept to himself and such. But, you know, at that point, all of the big high drama of Iran-Contra and everything, you know, that had already been exposed. So, you know, I think he was just, I don't know. My interpretation is that even with the people saying, look, he did quite well, there's still some reservation in that. There's that caveat of, well, he didn't really have a choice because there wasn't anything really going on.
Mm-hmm.
it had already happened.
Well, Larissa, I've been following politics for a long time, and I have learned to temper my enthusiasm for the dismissal of one official because you can never expect that the replacement will actually be better. I didn't have any expectation that Bush was actually going to cut Rumsfeld off here as quickly as he did.
Right.
So in turn, I was not terribly prepared for the Gates nomination. But as I process it and think about it, my feeling is that the Democrats should make his confirmation hearings an investigation into Iraq policy. And I would like to see some thorough questioning on his past, but I also want to know what he views as the future, what kind of authority and latitude he's been given by President Bush in this new assignment, and just how open-minded he is to changes in policy.
Well, I think question number two you're never going to get an answer to, so I think we need to just drop that one right there.
All right.
But I think he's been very vocal in terms of how he's viewed this whole Office of Special Plans in the Pentagon and all of that. I mean, obviously, he's taken issue with it because it was so extreme what went on with the manipulation of pre-war intelligence for Iraq. And it was so overt that, I mean, you just couldn't. You know, so you couldn't believe that things were being done so openly. So he has very publicly in opinion pieces taken issue with that kind of extreme misadventurism with intelligence. He's also a big advocate for separating intelligence from military, in that he believes that the Pentagon has overreached into too many of the usually divided power structures. Mm-hmm. The Pentagon's gotten way too much control over many of the organizations within the government. You know, that said, again, I don't think anyone's going to be too hard on him, maybe with the exception of Levin, simply because he's not Rumsfeld. And while I agree with you, my major concern, regardless of how well he did when he was appointed finally, because the first time he wasn't, he had to withdraw because...
Right.
Right.
Yeah, he was rejected about 1988 or 89.
Right. No, the 80... Wait.
Was it earlier?
No, it's... Hold on. I don't have it right at 87.
Yeah, okay.
87, and... but then he was put back in 1991, and again, you know, this is past these major hurdles, and he's on his best behavior. You know, but that said, in my opinion, anyone affiliated with Iran-Contra should not be appointed to anything for any reason. I say that not only because of, you know, the nature of Iran-Contra, but also because of the fact that much of what's happened in this administration is the result of Iran-Contra people being involved in government again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can point in any number of ways. Now, I know people are trying to make this argument that, well, but he's not a neocon. And no, he's not a neocon, but the argument can be made that Cheney's not a neocon either. That neoconservatism is an ideology and that these guys are corporatists. So, you know, it's not as clean-cut as everyone thinks, but I think, you know, just given how well the Iran-Contra gang has done thus far in these last 6 years, why do we need another member of that gang added? I don't care if they're from the old guard or the new guard. They're still from the same sort of group, set of people that were involved in very serious and very dangerous activities.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you get a little conspiratorial about it, you think back, okay, Gates was running the CIA at the time. Cheney was running the Defense Department during the first Gulf War. And, you know, one of the things that they can consider...
No. You mean during Iran-Contra or post-Iran-Contra?
No, Gates was confirmed in 90 or 91.
91,
so,
right. And
so he was running the CIA at the time Cheney was at the Pentagon.
Right.
And my point is that, you know, they were collaborators during the first Gulf War, and that one of the resume items that Gates offers to Cheney is that he was reliable through the 80s and early 90s in, you know, working intelligence into the political agenda.
Right. Well, I mean, but let's go back. They have a longer history than that. We can take them back to Ford, and we can take them back to this catastrophe known as Team B, where... it was decided, hey, let's take intelligence out of the professional hands and throw it open to interpretation by others, which is exactly what happened. And then this alternative interpretation, and this is where you have the, you know, the overstating of the Soviet threat and such. Let's throw it into that sphere, and then we can use it for whatever means. It was trillions of dollars invested into this nonsense, which was essentially a way of politicizing intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you can trace them almost at every point very closely. In fact, you could even put Cheney's closest associates, like Addington, was in the CIA at the same time that, would have been very closely working with Gates.
Mm-hmm. We got to take a break. We'll return with Larissa Alexandrovna. If you have a question or comment, join us toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
And let's take a look at traffic as you folks make your way home this evening. And let's start us off with a problem. How about in, let's take a look at the Santa Cruz Mountains. No major stalls or accidents to report. In fact, everything looking pretty good. Santa Clara, just going to mention eastbound 237 before Great American Parkway. Still have big burlap bags reported in the left lane. Let's see. We also have some problems. Let's take a look at Monterey Salinas. No stalls or accidents to report there. Only thing we really got working at this point is just an advisory, and that's regarding tonight in Watsonville. We do have nighttime road work on between Highway 1 between 29, that's 129 and Freedom. Each lane, Caltrans will have one lane closed in each direction starting at 7 until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. For pavement upgrades, you can expect at least 15-minute delays. This report brought to you by Advil.
You got the Peter B. Collins Show. 10 minutes away from the hour. Larissa Alexandrovna with us from Raw Story. I found this version, Larissa.
Okay.
It's Don Henley doing your Leonard Cohen request.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls their fingers crossed.
I know he's not.
Leonard Cohen is a poet.
Knows the war is over.
No, it doesn't work for me.
All right.
But thank you for trying.
Okay. I do have a Leonard Cohen CD collection at home, and I'll look for that and see if we can get that on for you. Let's talk a little further here about the Gates nomination and the way that this has rolled forward. He, of course, is part of this Baker-led Iraq study group that the president uses, in my view, to present the notion that he's open to change. But as a guest earlier pointed out today, the Pentagon has its own commission of generals who are described as innovative and thinkers outside the proverbial box.
Right.
And so
who was this guest, if I may ask?
I think we were talking with Jeffrey Feldman about that.
Okay.
From Frame Shop is Open. A lot of people are wondering if Bush really is open to change, or if this is just a charade to buy time, and will the recommendation that's finally adopted be the one from John McCain to send more American troops into Iraq?
Actually, no, I don't think they'll send in more troops. That's just my personal opinion. I think they're going to run. But I do tend to agree that I think this is very cosmetic. I think that, as one person explained it to me, and I included that in the piece, is that it essentially, and I tend to kind of see why this person would say this, is that Gates is essentially going in to shut the place down, to keep it quiet. Too many people are talking. There's too much noise in every direction, whether they're talking, you know, military folks and civilian folks inside the Pentagon alike, whether they're talking to members of Congress or members of the press. There's too much noise. And that's the first thing that he's required to do is shut that down, to keep things calm and quiet until these guys can get their act together.
Mm-hmm.
My own suspicion is I think there's some Weinberger shredding in the plans, but I could be wrong. I mean, let's remember that the Democrats are going absolutely after the funding, the money that's missing in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and the no-bid contracts. So a gone rummy, doesn't necessarily have to testify. And what is Gates going to say? This happened before I arrived. I know nothing about it, and there's no documents to show any of it.
Particularly on torture policy.
Well, yeah, but then for that, you actually get additional documents in the Department of Justice, so I think we're covered. We have them in every branch of government because they were a director from the White House, approved by the Justice Department, sent over to the CIA, and the Pentagon, so I think there's a lot of paper on that.
Well, and the CIA has confirmed that there are at least two presidential directives, one that they say was signed, the other one they're not explicit on, that directed the CIA to establish the black sites and also gave them the liberal guidelines on interrogation.
Well, my feeling on this is that I generally side with the Nuremberg decision, and that is, I was just following orders does not do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You have a duty as an officer, and CIA officers are officers. They are, in fact. And they have a duty, to disobey an illegal order. And for this to be like, well, what we were told to do this is for me, as much as I've defended the CIA in recent, and certainly with the build-up to the war in Iraq and everything, I'm still incredibly angry and critical about this. What I think is probably the worst crime of this administration is this whole, torture camp and rendition
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah. We had a powerful guest on the program yesterday, a new book called Torture Taxi. And they have been able to trace some of the aircraft used in the extraordinary rendition programs, and they trace them to a murky premier executive aviation group where the people who sign the corporate documents don't appear to exist.
Right. Well, it would have to be a dummy company up front, Well, that makes sense. Valerie Plame's company was a front.
Yeah.
That in itself isn't necessarily, all that shocking or something to be, looking askance at because, how are they supposed to operate? That kind of doesn't bother me. What bothers me is not that they have these, front companies by which to do their work. It's that their work is essentially illegal in manner to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, everything they do after they come in on assignment is already going to be even more illegal and just compounds the whole situation.
We're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna from rawstory.com. And Larissa, at the end of your piece, you list some fascinating little tidbits about what Bob Gates has been up to.
Right.
He's on the board of directors of Parker Drilling Company. He's been there since 2001. And a major client partner of Parker is Halliburton, as our listeners like to pronounce it as if it's two words. And you cite that in 2004, for example, Halliburton landed the IRIDE Samaria project in Mexico for $175 million, and Parker was brought into the project to provide the rigs and crews. So we still have a seamless connection to Halliburton.
Right, and I'm wondering just how... think about it. Do you think that, consider that Halliburton doesn't need Parker. They could just find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, go ahead. You were going to read the other little...
Yeah. Serving on the Parker board with Gates is John W. Gibson, who until 2004 was CEO of Halliburton Energy Services, and he has survived hunting trips with Dick Cheney. Another one is Robert McKee III, currently chairman of eVenture, a Shell-Halliburton joint project, and he's also a senior advisor to the Iraqi oil ministry. So that's interesting, cozy, chummy relationships.
Well, it doesn't sound terribly independent to me, but, you know, what do I know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any final thoughts you have about Robert Gates and the nomination process that'll be starting up probably in a week or two?
He's gonna pass.
Yeah, I think you're right.
No, I mean, there's no question. I've made enough calls to get the sense that there's enough votes. He's going through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what my feeling on it is, as I've already said, you know, anything having to do with Iran-Contra should be seen as an embarrassment and a criminal enterprise in America's recent past, and should not be in any way rewarded with new and exciting positions. For these people, I think it's bad enough that 22 of them were pardoned, which obviously in itself is just a huge controversy.
Yeah.
But let's not bring them back in the government. I think let's just keep people who have committed crimes, and I don't care if they're now innocent suddenly because they were pardoned. It doesn't take away from the criminal activity.
Yeah.
Let's just keep them out of government. I think that should be sort of a good rule to have.
Read all about it at rawstory.com. Larissa Alexandrovna, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up next, it's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Is your child just entering puberty, and are you uncertain about how to talk with preteens about their changing bodies and moods? I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and my guest Charles Wiebelsman to discuss the physical and emotional changes 9 to 13-year-olds face during the preteen years.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. General John Abizay, the top U.S. commander in the Middle East, faced hostile questions today as he pleaded with Congress for a little more time in Iraq.
General Abizay told senators things in Iraq have gotten better and success can be achieved, but he was getting pounded by both sides. Democrats told him the U.S. can't end Iraq's civil war and should start pulling out. He rejected that.
Under the current circumstances, I would not recommend troop withdrawals.
But Abizaid also rejected the advice of Republican Senator John McCain to send in more troops.
You seem to think that the status quo and the rate of progress we're making is acceptable. I think most Americans do not.
Abizaid said training the Iraqi army is key, but several senators noted we've spent years trying to do that. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Senator McCain files papers tomorrow to form a presidential exploratory committee, and another Republican, former Wisconsin governor and Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson, says he'll join the fray after the first of the year. Delta says it still wants to emerge from bankruptcy as an independent airline, but today U.S. Airways put $8 billion on the table in a hostile takeover bid. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr takes a look.
If U.S. Airways' hostile bid for Delta flies, the new joint airline will be a monster, the largest in America, carrying 150 million U.S. passengers a year, about one in every five. The merger would be a corporate triumph of David over a wounded Goliath. Last year, struggling America West Airlines swallowed the financially strapped U.S. Airways and took its name. Now that new U.S. Airways is trying to swallow bankrupt giant Delta and grab its name. Bob Orr, CBS News, Washington.
He's not saying he did it, mind you, but O.J. Simpson has written a book detailing how his ex-wife Nicole and her friend Ron Goldman might have died if he had been the killer. Release of the book will be preceded by a Fox TV interview later this month. And Dr. Robert Thompson, professor of media and popular culture at Syracuse University, is appalled.
TV has done a lot of strange things before, and publishing has done a lot of strange things before, but boy, this has got to be near the top of the list.
Thompson calls Simpson's musings strange, macabre, and bizarre. Simpson continues to maintain his innocence. Ugly weather across the South today as powerful thunderstorms produced strong wind, heavy rain, hail, and even some tornadoes. In Montgomery, Alabama, Buddy Hobbs says a skating rink was demolished.
High winds took the roof off and it collapsed the side down, took and overturned cars. There's one of the buses is in the ditch upside down.
Luckily, four adults and 31 children took shelter in the only part of the building that survived. Another record on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial's up 33 points to 12,251. The NASDAQ gained 12 points to finish the day at 2442. This is CBS News.
My riding lawnmower ran out of gas on the road, and while I was getting more gas, an 18-wheeler hit it. Will my car insurance cover that?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed car insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical...
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio, available in most states and situations.
To withdraw, to go away, to disappear. That's how the dictionary defines retirement. Time to redefine. Your generation's definitely not headed for bingo night. In fact, you could write a book about how you're going to turn retirement upside down.
The best book on retirement is the one you'll write, The Dream Book from Ameriprise Financial. To talk with an advisor near you about your retirement dreams, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE today.
Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member NASD and SIPC.
Video game fanatics have cleared their calendars for the next couple of days so they can be among the first to get their hands on Sony's new PlayStation 3. CBS News correspondent Peter King found a group in Florida waiting patiently for sales to begin on Friday.
They're camping in tents, folding chairs, and recliners outside this Best Buy store. Jay is an ex-Marine just back from Iraq.
You know, I went without for so long, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this for me. I'm in between careers right now. I can afford to do it.
Eric Vega says he's just a grown-up kid.
My wife will say I'm getting it for myself, but I'm getting it for my kid. And that's the answer I'm sticking to.
This man says there's been almost no trouble.
Only the jocks and the guys that ride by at night and try to egg us.
The 30 or so campers have either taken time off or have friends who stand in when they have to go to work or school. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Retailers warn that supplies could be limited, but if you can't get a PlayStation, Nintendo's new game system goes on sale Sunday. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
To Office Depot for amazing deals this holiday season. This week only, Office Depot has 20% off all digital camera and printer bundles. Start your holiday shopping now with top brands and low prices on LCD and plasma flat screen TVs, camcorders, computers, and MP3 players like the new Zune. Office Depot has the latest technology for everyone on your list. Office Depot, taking care of business and the holidays. Available in-store only. Discount excludes clearance items. Quantities limited while supplies last.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Welcome to the Free Speech Zone. I've got lines available for you if you'd like to talk about the issues we've been discussing today or bring up one of your own. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, and it's toll-free. Imagine that. I'm especially interested in picking up on the theme that we started at the beginning of the show today about Arizona's vote against the gay marriage ban and the suggestion from Glenn Greenwald that a lot of libertarian voters are aligning more with Democrats these days. Midnight Oil. Lines open for you. Again, our number is 888-573-8372. Will in Lansing, Michigan knows the number. He's on the line and ready to go. Hi, Will.
Hey, Peter.
How you doing today?
Not too bad.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
I see Chicken Hawk in Chief George Bush is finally going to Vietnam. Better late than ever, I guess.
Yeah, he's reporting for duty just about 35 years too late.
Does this mean we get to call him Hanoi George?
Well, I haven't heard that Jane Fonda is on this trip. So what is your interest in his trip to Vietnam?
I just wanted to crack some jokes about
okay.
it.
I thought maybe you were going to comment on the underlying policy issues. The United States has been trying to pass some legislation, and it's considered fast-track trade treaty type stuff. So it requires a two-thirds vote. And Monday, they put it on the shelf. They were hoping, the White House was hoping, to have this trade bill for Vietnam passed before the president's visit, but it didn't happen that way. And so I'm not really sure what the purpose of his visit is, except to get out of Washington at this critical time.
Yeah, that sounds about like the truth of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Will, good to have you listening in Lansing, Michigan, and thanks for your call today.
Thank you.
All right. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. Randall in Tempe, welcome back.
Well, Peter B., how's it going?
I'm doing well today. How about you?
Well, I tell you, the libertarian and the libertines are alive and well in Arizona. It's true. And, you know, Barry Goldwater had that famous quote about religious fundamentalists, that he was going to fight them and struggle them with every ounce of his being. They used to play that quote regularly on the local station that carries you here. Maybe they'll resurrect that one. But the real conservatives, of course, want the separation between church and state. What happened with Prop 107 in Arizona was they overreached. They not only wanted to, it was a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, but it was also to rescind any government entity from offering civil union type of benefits.
Or domestic partnerships, yeah.
Yeah, that anything to do with any kind of benefits that normally accrue to marriage, which a lot of companies include, and also the universities here offer to unmarried couples. And they not only wanted to ban gay couples from getting these, they wanted all unmarried couples to not get these things. And this, of course, would just kill any competitive edge that our universities and our companies here, because we're trying to become this new genetic engineering type, you know, TGen, mm-hmm.
and
we're trying to build up these industries here. And in order to attract the kind of, you know, Intel is really big here.
Mm-hmm.
In order to attract these people, we have to treat them like human beings, whether they're married or not married. So the anti-107 campaign just ignored the whole gay-straight deal, and they just they trotted out a bunch of unmarried heterosexual couples who would be hurt by this because
uh-huh.
they would lose their pensions if they had to get married. You know, they'd have trouble with their Social Security and whatever. So what happened was the nutcases overreached on the deal. It wasn't so much the libertarians killed it. It was just the common sense killed it.
Mm-hmm. And in the larger sense, do you see an interesting alignment between libertarians and Democrats at this point?
Well, I hope so, and I hope the libertarians see it that way, because we are the Libertarian Party. You know, what I keep telling people is if you believe in Republican government and you want to conserve the Democratic Republic that we call the United States, then you are a conservative Republican, and you have to vote Democratic, because we are the only party that wants to conserve the Republic. The people that call themselves conservatives or Republicans are neither. They are some of them are royalists. They want to do away with the middle class, want to make people into a hereditary aristocracy by doing away with the inheritance tax. And the other ones are religious fanatics, and they want to do away with democracy altogether and turn us into a theocracy. They are not conservative. They are not Republican. If you're a conservative Republican, you have to vote Democratic.
Well, and it's interesting because the father of the Republican conservative movement, Richard Viguerie, has published a book and written columns and been all over radio. I heard him on the Ed Schultz show a week or two ago, and he believes that the current Republican Party is dead, or at least it's left him. And he's launching a new 20-year plan to rebuild the conservative movement around the Republican Party.
Well, he did the last one, and I'd take him seriously if he's got a plan in the works. But this, what I call the Reagan Coalition, which is the sociopathic Wall Street greedy people and the psychopathic religious fanatics, hopefully there's a wedge in there now, because the sociopaths are realizing how dangerous the psychopaths are, and the psychopaths are realizing they've been manipulated and used by the sociopaths, mm-hmm. and not going to get their abortion ban and their gay marriage ban and stuff like that.
Hey, Randall,
Randall,
you're pretty smart. Where'd you get your PhD?
Well, it's piled higher and deeper. You know, that's what PhD stands for.
I know.
And I was a cab driver for many years, and then I became a political activist when I realized that my government was committing crimes against humanity in Latin America and places like that.
Well, you're very well informed, and I appreciate your call to the show.
All right. Well, Mr. Brakey and I are still defending democracy here, and our good friend Jim March from Black Box Voting, you know, he's a Second Amendment Republican, so we're, mm-hmm. we're trying to placate him because... we want to defend his right to bear arms and arm bearers and all that kind of stuff.
Bye, Randall. Lisa in Phoenix, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. I pretty much wanted to echo what the previous caller just said in regards to how the campaign went for the gay marriage thing, because mm-hmm. pretty much they started each ad out with it's already illegal to be not legal to be married a gay married person in the state of Arizona, so they don't recognize gay marriage here at all, but it was just pretty much wanting to say, hey, if you're living with somebody and your significant other and you're not married, you're going to lose your benefits too, and I think that's what that really drove it over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the fact that, you know, this is Goldwater country, and you know, I think a lot of people have realized that if Barry was alive, he would not be with the Republican Party these days. He would be blasting them at every turn, I would think.
You know, what's interesting, Lisa, is I've been hearing a lot about Barry Goldwater from listeners in Arizona. His daughter recently produced a documentary that played on HBO, and I saw most of it. And
it was a wonderful documentary.
Yeah,
and
he was a very...
I happened to have the privilege of meeting Barry Goldwater on two separate occasions. He was a patient in the hospital that I had worked in, and he was a very nice gentleman, and certainly nothing like any of these neocons who try to claim to be conservative are all about. He was very progressive, as we would call him now in the Republican Party.
Well, I imagine that there's bottled water available in the Phoenix area, you know, that's gold water, because so many progressives who I hear from are imbued with a sense of his independent streak and his outspokenness. And I think that's very interesting. It makes me wonder if there might not be some way to coalesce with true conservatives and identify some common ground to try to minimize the future influence of the neocons.
Absolutely. And one other thing I wanted to touch on while we're talking about Arizona, and I bring up Senator John McCain. I really do hope that he does get the Republican nomination, because I can't imagine anybody voting for him. He is just the most ridiculous, two-faced piece of work anybody could ever imagine. He votes against his own fellow veterans. He is a kiss-up, a suck-up. I mean, to hug some Bush after the way they treated him during the campaign, you know, it's just two-faced. And if you can't be true to yourself, let alone, you know, the establishment of, you know, trying to be a leader, just, you know, you say the right things so you can be in party loyalists and get the party money. That's
well, Lisa,
nothing.
Let's imagine your encounter with John McCain, and you'll say, Senator, I knew Barry Goldwater.
Mm-hmm.
Senator, you're no Barry Goldwater.
Certainly is not.
I hope you get an opportunity to deliver that message. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone here. Grab a line. Let's talk. I've got three lines available at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. As Blondie would say, call me. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Call me, call me, call me, call me.
This week on Rockrilla Real Estate, meet Jim Ross, president and founder of National Real Estate Holding. Jim has been on our show the last several weeks talking about wealth building and offering great real estate investments in some of the great real estate markets of the United States. If you want to learn how to make money in a down real estate market, this is the show for you. And don't forget to be a part of the Tell a Friend Just Relax giveaway at the Legacy Villa in Palm Springs just by calling the show. That's this week on Rockrilla Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
And we're certainly on duty to give you the very latest in traffic. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening in Capitola. Northbound 1, just after 41st Avenue, getting word of a crash. A vehicle hit the center divide. CHP now on scene there. This is affecting a little bit of traffic. A lot of folks hitting their brake lights to check out the activity. In Felton, Lockwood Lane at Graham Hill Lane, we have a stalled, stalled truck, actually, blocking the roadway there. So heads up, be advised. Also, Watsonville this evening, nighttime road work between Highway 1, 129 and Freedom. CHP will close a lane in each direction starting at 7 until 6 a.m. In fact, you can expect 15-minute delays. A support brought to you by Advil. New Advil PM tonight. Spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep when you switch from Tylenol PM to new Advil PM. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KRXA AM 540.
This is how we do it on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone. Your call will not be censored. Your topic will not be turned away. You dial toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Matt Renner answers the phone. He'll ask you, you know, just to make sure you're coherent and speaking a language we understand, what you want to talk about. He puts it up on the screen, and then we take your call, generally in the order received, but not always. It's my call. And our toll-free lines are open right now. I've got three available at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Huffington Post today published a purloined memorandum from Fox News. Now, every day we understand there is a memo that goes out from a guy named Moody And he sets the tone for coverage on the Fox News Channel on that particular day. And this one was last Thursday, just 2 days after the midterm elections. And it's written in a kind of breezy style. I'm just going to read this, and maybe you'll want to react to it. A couple of thumpies, to use a variation of Bush's term, speak today. Webb has won in Virginia. The balance of power in the Senate's now 51-49 Dem. Sanders and Lieberman will organize with the Ds. He'll come out and concede. Let's take it. Rumsfeld had a previous speaking engagement in Kansas. He ought to be in a fine mood. Can one fake smile hide that much frustration? We'll take that, too. The elections and Rumsfeld's resignation were a major event, but not the end of the world. The war on terror goes on without interruption. Jennifer Griffin sent in info on the Hamas call for attacks on American interests. And let's be on the lookout for any statements from the Iraqi insurgents, who must be thrilled at the prospect of a Dem-controlled Congress. You hear that? That is an invitation for propaganda. They're looking for Osama or somebody like him to squeal with delight that the Democrats were victorious so they can use that against us. Fair and balanced, wouldn't you say? A couple more items here. The question of the day, and indeed for the rest of Bush's term, is what's the Dem plan for Iraq? This could be a very short live shot for Jim Engel, but he'll try. In the House, the newly empowered Dems will shed some fraternal blood before settling in. Murtha will challenge Hoyer for the leadership, a former hawk versus a political hack. Garrett will observe. That's Major Garrett, a correspondent at Fox News. And the last entry here will continue to work the Hamas threat to the U.S. that came hours after the election results. Griffin and Tobin will include in their lives, those are live shots, just because Dems won, the war on terror isn't over. That's an interesting glimpse at the inside operation at the Fox News Channel. Let's see, Leonard in Glendale, you're next here in the Free Speech Zone. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello there, sir. It's sure good to talk to you.
Well, I'm glad to hear you.
Well, I'm sitting out here in the parking lot waiting for my friend to stop shopping, and it's really pleasant here in Glendale, Arizona right now.
Now, if your friend has trouble stopping shopping, you might refer this person to Reverend Billy and the Church of Stop Shopping. Have you ever heard of them?
No, I've heard of that Reverend Billy guy or whatever. I think he's doing the comic sketches or something years back. Or
yeah,
he
goes around to Walmart stores and holds interventions.
Good. Yeah, I'm sitting, since you bring it up, I'm sitting in the parking lot of a Target, and the difference, I'm down the street where I live, actually, from a Super Walmart. The difference between the Super Walmart and the Target and the amount of people is night and day. I mean, Target's got some customers in here right now, but it's like a mausoleum compared to the Super Walmart, and I feel bad about it. But, you know, I think I included, a lot of us need that intervention, but, you know, unfortunately Walmart, a very poor person who can barely afford to put food on the table, is going to say, wow, I can go to Super Walmart, get that $4 rotisserie chicken already cooked, or I can go to another big store and pay almost $10, and I've got a family to feed, I can't pay my medical insurance. So we've been put in this situation, but you know what? I'd like to do the intervention thing, you know.
All right, well, look for Reverend Billy on the web. There's a website, I can't remember what it is.
I will, but the thing is, I was calling basically in the difference between Barry Goldwater. I've grown up in Arizona all my life, born in Phoenix, and John McCain. And I can remember when the Keating Five scandal broke and thinking to myself that that was it for this guy. And, of course, he's great at making comebacks, and I really respect his military service. But that does not give him a buy from me, because I know that he is the Neville Chamberlain, in my opinion, of American jurisprudence, because he comes out saying, well, I've saved habeas corpus, you know, basically everybody thinking he saved it. And I've got nothing against populism if there is a real sincerity behind it. But he goes with the prevailing winds, and people don't see that about him. The press think of him as Straight Talk Express. I heard the guy talking on the Bennett show yesterday, stating that, you know, we need more troops. And then when asked, how are we going to get those troops? He said, well, people aren't going to like this, but we're just going to have to keep sending the National Guard and Reserve. And, you know, if anybody states that for continually sending over the same soldiers who've been there over and over risking their lives in the so-called war on terror, I find that disingenuous at best, because you know, I think the man wants a draft. I think he wants to fight Vietnam all over again. We can do it this time.
Leonard, I do think I concur with you that John McCain has managed to create a good image, the straight talker and the maverick and all that.
I found it fascinating
at the 2004 Republican convention. He was described, along with Giuliani and a couple of others, as the moderates of the Republican Party. And John McCain is not a moderate. He is a pro-big business, pro-life, pro-corporate guy. And, you know, there's nothing about him, in my view, that is moderate.
Well, he was a campaign chairman out here for the Kyle campaign. And, you know, he just doesn't, he's not fooling me on this because, as you, you know, basically, like you said, he's not this liberal that everybody, or this moderate guy that everybody paints him out to be. And I wish people, you know, would just not just accept the mainstream media's interpretation and dig down into this guy's record, because I really am nervous about this guy. And that's what he's going to play. The Democrats of the Weimar, you know, it's the Weimar Republic all over again. If not for the Democrats, we could have won. He's not going to back it up.
Leonard, thank you for your call. More coming up in the Free Speech Zone here. I'm Peter B. Collins, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
This is Laura Pruneta, Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm Peter B., your humble host. It's the Free Speed Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Jimmy in Mesa, you're up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, why do you think the liberals are running away from the Murtha video?
Which Murtha video is that?
The one that proves that he's basically a liar and a cheat.
Well, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
The ab scam situation of the 1980s.
Ah, I am aware of that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want your liberal opinion of this.
Well, Jimmy, I'll give you an opinion, but you're coming across as kind of smarmy. Like the liberal word is something that comes out and then you want to use mouthwash.
I would say that's fairly accurate.
Well, have you been listening to our program? In fact, yesterday we brought information forward from Melanie Sloan at CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, and we talked about the ethical problems of Jack Murtha. So we don't protect Democrats on this program, and I invite you, even if you detest liberals, to listen and participate, because I'm interested in reaching more than people who already agree with me.
Well, I vote straight Republican, but I like to listen to both sides of the issue, and Murtha is a slimy crook, in my humble opinion.
Well, unfortunately, I cannot reject your statement. And I have compared him to Kurt Weldon, the Republican from Pennsylvania, who was bounced when it became clear that he was using his congressional office to directly benefit his daughter. And Murtha is accused of using earmarks that benefited his brother to the tune of some $400,000.
Would you nominate him for that position, yes or no?
I would not.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Respect you.
Okay. I'm glad I passed muster there. Even though I'm a liberal. Mark in Phoenix, hello. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. Thank you for being on the radio and having this opportunity. I'm one of those liberals like yourself, like a Franklin Delano Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, Harry Truman. We don't lose wars, and we do have integrity. Spent 10 years in the Marine Corps, and I was in Central America as a young guard at the embassy and saw a lot in Honduras from 78 to 79. Then I went to Argentina. The lady who promoted me to corporal in the Marine Corps was Mari Lucy Jaramillo. I think she was the dean of University of New Mexico, President Carter appointee. And then the person who replaced her when Ronald Reagan took the presidency away from President Carter because of the failed rescue attempt in Iran, which some people are saying that there may be some involvement with the families in the White House right now with that catastrophe, even though...
Let's be clear here. There was, in fact, an October surprise in 1980-81.
Right.
The election was in November. Right. Bill Casey and George Bush Sr. had a meeting in Paris with representatives of the government of Tehran.
That's
and
correct.
They struck a deal. And the evidence was presented on Inauguration Day as I sat there aghast in my living room and watched the split screen of Ronald Reagan taking the oath of office and an airplane leaving Tehran with the hostages on it. That was not a coincidink.
Well, Peter, remember, we don't deal with terrorists. We hunt them down and smoke them out.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. The one caller is sitting in the parking lot of Target.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned something about the National Guard, and I don't know if Americans realize why the National Guard is so significant now. It's I call it the privatization of the military. This takes place under some popular names under Dick Cheney back in the 80s, and none other than Ken Lay. He was working at the Pentagon. I don't know if he was Naval Reserve or a civilian attached, but they came up with this. If Americans stopped and realized, you join the National Guard at 20 or at 30, and you get done at 40 or 50, and until you're 59 and a half, the Pentagon is spending your money on what I call our number one export is the proliferation of weapon sales around the world, which accounts for about 55% of our tax dollars. That's why the National Guard and isn't it ironic that most of the National Guard units are coming from Kentucky's and Florida's? Even though I live in Florida, Peter, and I'm on my way back from San Diego to Florida, I grew up in Illinois. Thank goodness my values haven't left me. They've actually gotten stronger there in Illinois. I wanted to make a point about John Negroponte, Peter, if I could, due to your first very informative guest.
Go right ahead.
Well, Negroponte spearheaded he was the man in Honduras who worked the Iran-Contra connection.
And
right. He's now the guy in charge of whatever they're now calling the intelligence for the United States. Negroponte, I don't know if, Peter, I'm sure you're familiar with the School of Americas, aren't you?
Oh, indeed. In fact, you complete your thought, and then we'll come back to SOA.
And I appreciate that. Thank God you're on the radio. The School of Americas, one of the Kennedy sons had over 200 votes to close prior to his demise. The School of Americas trained senior enlisted people and junior officers from Latin American countries to go back to their countries and find people who think like you and I do, Peter, that think that workers should make more than 11 cents an hour, hunt them down as they organize, knock on their doors and either kill them on the spot or take them away and kidnap them and kill them.
Yes, we trained death squads at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Correct.
And sent them back to their nations in Central and South America. Now,
correct.
here's the reason this came up. One of my sources contacted me 2 days ago and relayed a story that was in USA Today last week.
Uh-huh.
And it is a waiver that President Bush has signed. He did it quietly on October 2nd in a memo to Secretary of State Rice. And it waives the impact of a 2002 law that barred countries from receiving military aid and training if they refused to promise immunity from prosecution for U.S. service members in the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. And this waiver is going to permit us to once again train these police and military units from 21 countries, including 11 Latin American and Caribbean countries. And this is explicitly described as a reaction to the leftward tilt of Evo Morales, Hugo Chavez, and new leader of, Ortega, who has been reelected
in Nicaragua.
Right. And
we have Bachelet down in Chile, whose father was killed by the support of the U.S. government in the 70s, in the Allende overthrow by Pinochet, who was supported by Kissinger and Nixon. Also, I'm wondering, Peter, the list of 23 countries, does that incorporate Iraq, and could that also be why Donald Rumsfeld resigns the day after we Democrats took the country over, and because there was an indictment, if you watch Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, it shows that they are the Germans are going after Rumsfeld. I'm wondering if that quiet memo that you mentioned, which I don't read USA Today.
I don't either.
you don't have enough time.
No, it's an insulting newspaper.
Exactly. I wouldn't have read that in fifth grade. But
the article doesn't list all of the countries. It says about half are in Latin America or the Caribbean.
Well,
so that's what I
wonder
know.
If that's not a cover story, Peter, because it probably. I'm wondering if it's not like. Removing the habeas corpus for the capture of Rumsfeld for war crimes.
Well,
also,
we're looking into that story further, so stay tuned, and we'll hopefully bring you more in the next few days. Go ahead.
Can I ask a final question, Peter? Are you aware that the 3,000 Americans that lost family members and folks from other countries on 9/11, out of the 3,000 families, 80 of the families said, keep your $2 million after taxes. We're going to sue the U.S. government, we're going to sue the Saudi government, we're going to find out who's totally responsible. Peter, can you name the American who's defending the Saudis in that law case?
I think his name is James A. Baker III.
I like your style, Peter. Keep fighting. You're on target. God bless you.
That's Mark in Phoenix. Now to John in Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, this morning I listened to Amy Goodman. had a fascinating panel debate. She had the George McGovern there. Did you hear that?
I did not. No, I was in a recording studio.
Dennis Kucinich, and she brought in, unlike her usual style, which is to stay away from NPR Warren Olney type discussions, where he always has somebody from the American Free Enterprise Institute. Usually,
yeah.
Well, she had a guy by the name of Joshua Marovcek.
Yeah.
He was mentioned on later when I was listening to Tom Hartman in connection with something else. This guy insulted almost immediately both McGovern and Kucinich, told them they were un-American. They had no business taking this stance because Kucinich said that it was all over oil, the whole Iraq thing. And what amazed me was, beyond his aggressive assault there, patriotism, because I've heard others do this from this American Free Enterprise Institute.
Oh, John, hold on.
In Vietnam.
There we go. Go ahead.
He was insisting it was McGovern and Kucinich mentalities that kept us from winning in Vietnam. This guy was something else. It was absolutely unbelievable. I was aghast. I just thought, if I could have called her, I would have said, please, spare us. Don't get any more of these types. I have no more patience for them.
Well, you know, we get approached all the time by the American Enterprise Institute, the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which is the front for the oil and gas companies that creates confusion about global warming. And occasionally I'm tempted to have them on, you know, just to watch them, you know, run their mouths off and that sort of thing. And then I usually think better of it, saying, you know, why waste the time of my listeners? Why frustrate people to just listen to somebody who's spouting talking points? Now, there are some people at think tanks who have something to say, have something to offer, and are intelligent, rational people who engage in dialogue. And I'm willing to have people like that, even who are diametrically opposed to my politics, on this program. But what I don't like to do is just spin wheels and kind of create noise with people who are simply, you know, throwing around labels and epithets that really don't advance the debate, don't advance understanding, or really help people deal with the issues at hand. So I tend to take a different tack and not embrace the, you know, the cable TV nighttime confrontation mode, but to bring thoughtful people on, even if they disagree with me, and give them a chance to express themselves without just degenerating into name-calling and, you know, the cut-and-run talking points. So thanks for your call, John. I'm going to move along here. We'll take a break and return with more of your phone calls. There are lines open if you'd like to join in, and a short wait if you get on. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. You got that? 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Join us, if you will, in a discussion of the spooky world of quantum physics. Find out about a world even smaller than Bush's brain. We'll be talking with Fred Kuttner about the quantum enigma where physics encounters consciousness. Tune into the Billy Sunshine Show, Sunday at 3 o'clock, and we'll blow your mind.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pyler for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's give you the very latest as you folks make your way home tonight. So let's tell you a little bit about what's happening in Monterey, Figueroa Street at Del Monte Avenue. Caltrans repaving, expect delays, so be advised there this evening. Santa Cruz, let's go back to Monterey County. Eastbound 680 at Laurel's Grade, disabled vehicle. It's a car partially blocking the roadway there. And also more activity in Santa Cruz. We're going to tell you about southbound one after Morrissey Boulevard, an accident cleared, CHP moving a big rig in a car off to City Streets. This report brought to you by Notre Dame Demure University. Come to Notre Dame Demure University, where weekend degree completion and graduation classes for the School of Business are now available. Visit ndnu.edu for details. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KRXA AM 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines available if you'd like to join us in the free speech zone at 888-5 Peter B. And we go to Cave Creek, Arizona. Barbara's on the line. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Doing okay. What's on your mind?
It's tit for tat, but we have Rick Renzi, who is the corrupt Rick Renzi of Arizona, now under official investigation for a corrupt scam land deal involving the San Pedro River, Cochise County, and a huge foreign copper mining corporation that would benefit his former business partner, James Sandlin, and $1.1 million in contracts that he's already given to his father's company outside of Tucson, where there's we have a army base.
Now, is Renzi accused of using his office as a congressman to advance these personal interests?
Oh, yeah, plus other things. But it was the investigation has been repressed by a Bush boy named Carlton until after the election. Paul Carlton was appointed by Bush. And
he's the U.S. attorney?
He's an attorney.
No, the U.S. attorney?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So he would be in charge.
I don't know all the details. It's all over the place. So if you look up R-E-N is Nancy Z-I,
mm-hmm.
Rick Renzi, and he's under investigation. And it's just another one. But they kept this under wraps until after the election. So
it's kind of like the Rumsfeld dismissal. You don't want to roil the waters during an election by telling people what you're actually going to do.
Yeah, but this is. He kept him from pushing this investigation until after, Charlton Heston, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
He pressed heavy felony charges against the border humanitarians who were giving water stations to people who were crossing the border so they wouldn't die in the desert.
Right.
And he would not stop prosecuting them. And later the court dismissed the bogus charges.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the same guy. And so they kept him in office. So Ellen Simon, who was running against him, really couldn't say anything other than, he's the possibility of his corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And he did have, billions of dollars in contracts with his father's company. And his father was a general in the United States Army.
Mm-hmm. I just did a Google search, and Renzi shows up on the watch list at Citizens for Ethics as that's a crew, which Melanie Sloan's organization. She was on with us yesterday.
Okay.
And he was described last year as one of the 13 ethically challenged members of Congress.
Yeah, and he's very good looking.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's a very handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
But highly ethically challenged. But
well, you know, pretty boys sometimes have a hard time with the rules. They figure they don't apply to them.
Well, it depends, you know.
All right, Barbara, thanks.
Thank you.
We'll check into that a little bit further. And now we go to Gilbert in Salinas. Hi, Gilbert. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a couple of questions rather than comments, see what your opinion is.
All right.
You know, before the election, the Republicans passed this immigration law or reform that they were going to build the fence or part of the, you know, like a 700-mile fence along the border.
That's correct. They authorized it. Well, they authorized it, but they didn't allocate any money for it.
Okay.
So it was really just a press release that they passed before the election.
It was just a political gimmick because, you know, what it really does is it's going to endanger the lives of many people more than it is now. I'm sure, like, the Republican Party doesn't really want to stop immigration. You know, their record shows that they want that readily available cheap labor. It was Reagan that gave the amnesty. It's always Clinton was a little tougher on immigration than Bush has been, but when they talk on the different, you know, sources they use in the media, they say otherwise.
Well, Gilbert, I think next year is going to be very interesting on immigration from a number of perspectives. One is, since it's not an election year, it'll be fascinating to see if the Republicans like Sensenbrenner, Tancredo from Colorado, and the other leader on this is Pence. I think his name is Steve Pence. He's from Indiana. Those are the three Republicans who have tried to use inflammatory positions on immigration for political gain. And I'm going to be watching them carefully to see how they play the issue in the democratically controlled Congress next year. The other interesting angle is that a number of the moderate to conservative Democrats who were elected in the midterm election this year have fairly conservative positions on immigration that in some ways are almost, not quite, but almost as extreme as Sensenbrenner, Tancredo, and Pence. And it will be interesting to see, A, if those Democrats just use that rhetoric to get elected and actually don't follow through on the policies, or if they are, you know, not panderers, just people who actually have a hard line on immigration and adopted that position and will actually act upon it, because that could split the Democratic caucus on the immigration issues. Then the other wild card is whether the president will align with Democrats to pass a more humane and comprehensive immigration package that would include guest workers and some of the other provisions that were stripped out of the Republican bill last year.
Yeah, I just don't like the danger that that would create and the antagonism for those of us that are already here legally and try to assimilate mainstream America and, you know, try to live well, and all of a sudden we see ourselves, you know, in the crossfire. And the other thing is, you know, there would be other ways. What I see, like when they were talking about trying to stop immigration and seal the borders, and then, you know, if you look from the Mexican perspective, a peasant plants his corn, beans, you know, whatever grains or raised cattle, and when it's time to harvest, the United States inundates Mexico with cheap grain and, you know, push them to not follow that route and then try to come to the United States or go to the sweatshops or places where they get a very small salary. So I guess stopping immigration, there are other ways, or, you know, make it safe and legal.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of creative things that the United States could do if it recognized the economic issues that really drive this migration.
Exactly, and I think for the most part, the United States economic policy with their farmers has to do with that migration. Because
and let me just use this as an example, Gilbert. I saw a story recently that the transfers of cash from people who work in the United States but are Mexican nationals is about $20 billion a year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now,
it is great.
Think if the United States simply looked at that and said, well, let's make an investment in a healthy economy in Mexico. Why don't we match that? Why don't we put $20 billion into developing worker training programs, upgrading the technical skills of Mexican workers, creating urban employment in Mexico City that's at a higher level than the maquiladoras along the American border? There are a lot of things that we could do to create magnets for workers in Mexico and keep people there and still allow them to prosper to some extent and develop the kind of lives that draw them to the United States now.
Yeah. I think it's just the issue thing would be that not interfering with prices of the products that they grow, because the technical ability is there. There's a lot of people in Mexico that are graduates that have no jobs,
right?
And those that have jobs get paid very little,
right?
You know, that's part that they will really have to look into.
Gilbert, I thank you for the call today. I'm out of time. I got to go home.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and thanks for calling in. I'm going to saddle up Trigger here and ride off into the sunset. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations, for the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A top general weighs in on Iraq.
I believe that the troop levels need to stay where they are.
CBS News correspondent David Martin reports.
General John Abizaid told the Senate Armed Services Committee he is against either a substantial buildup or a cutback in U.S. troops. Then he made this stunning admission.
We can put in 20,000 more Americans tomorrow and achieve a temporary effect. But when you look at the overall American force pool that's available out there, the ability to sustain that commitment is simply not something that we have right now with the size of the Army and the Marine Corps.
Which raises this question: is the current strategy the best strategy, or simply the best the U.S. can do under the circumstances?
Abizaid came under fire from Republicans and Democrats alike. New York Senator Hillary Clinton said hope is not a strategy.
I have heard over and over again, the government must do this. The Iraqi army must do that. Nobody disagrees with that. The brutal fact is, it is not happening.
One of the four American soldiers charged with raping an Iraqi girl, then killing her and her family, has pleaded guilty, agreeing to testify against the others. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula was at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, for the confession.
I did it because I hated Iraqis. That's how Specialist James Barker explained his raping and killing of a 14-year-old girl. Barker labeled it a dumb, crazy idea. He told a judge here at Fort Campbell that the unspeakable crime has caused Iraqis to, quote, hate us even more.
Barker's lawyer says he agreed to the plea deal to avoid the death penalty. At Camp Pendleton, California, a Marine private who pleaded guilty to reduced charges in the killing of an Iraqi civilian has been sentenced to 18 months in custody. Delta Airlines, struggling to emerge from bankruptcy, is the target of an $8 billion hostile takeover bid from U.S. Airways. Reporter Pete Combs has reaction in Atlanta.
Ask a Delta retiree what she thinks about merging with U.S. Airways.
I was in my car and I almost wrecked it.
It was a shock, and it might happen.
But airline analyst Mike Boyd says from a consumer standpoint, it better not happen. The only people he thinks will benefit from such a merger might be Delta stockholders and creditors of the bankrupt airline.
If they're creditors who are going to get 10 cents on the dollar with the first plan and 15 cents on the dollar with the U.S. air plan, they don't care if the airline lives or dies. They want